93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, April 3rd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, winning another national championship means no classes at Villanova. Villanova University and Villanova Law are closed today after the men's basketball team won their second NCAA championship in 3 years on Monday night.
I thought that was great that the law school was like, yeah, us too.
Yeah, throw in, why not? Right.
That means no law 101 for me today.
The Wildcats defeated Michigan 79-62. As soon as the game finished, fans streamed from the campus cheering and chanting. Police say the celebration on Lancaster Avenue, which went well into the early morning hours, was mostly orderly, but there were two arrests. Police say that the two arrests were for a minor assault and underage drinking. A street sign was ripped to the ground and floated through the crowd, and a bonfire burned on Lancaster Ave with fans celebrating around it.
See, a guy did eat poop, but it was an Arabian horse's poop.
So that's
a much more expensive horse.
Mm-hmm. Officers on motorcycles came through to disperse the crowd. Police did grease the poles down before the game, but they say at least one person still managed to climb all the way up the street sign.
Some dude just sitting out there watching the whole thing. Totally unfazed.
Officials say more than 400 police officers, along with the FBI and township employees, helped to monitor the celebration. Students, alums, and fans could not contain themselves after the Wildcats' victory. It was the best feeling in the world for many in the sea of fans celebrating along Lancaster and throughout Villanova. Everyone is now looking forward to the celebration of the parade, but no word yet on when that will happen. The team is expected to arrive back home later this afternoon.
Man, they just dominated through the whole thing. Double digits in every win, right?
Every win, yeah. Only three teams, I think, have ever done that before.
That is just absolutely manhandling everybody.
Yeah, they were the best team in the tournament by far. They deserve to win.
It's fantastic.
Where was the parade last time? Was it down Lancaster?
No, Market Street. Remember?
Yes.
We played basketball.
Oh, we played basketball. That's right. Yeah.
That's why we still have our little Tykes hoop.
Yeah,
where's the other one at?
In the studio. We played two-on-two basketball.
That's right.
Over six blocks.
Yeah.
In Center City.
It was great.
And it nearly killed our participants.
Yes. We're going to have to do it again.
They had to dribble up and down six blocks, and we had one of those at each end.
Yeah, I see no reason not to do a repeat on that.
Yeah.
Oh, we have to.
We just have to make sure the interns are physically capable. We almost killed three of them last time.
So I'm sure there'll be more information about when that parade will be later today. A sad story. A 14-year-old girl has died after she was shot and stabbed multiple times inside her Bucks County home. The district attorney's office said the girl was pronounced dead on Monday morning at St. Christopher's Hospital in Philadelphia, where she had been admitted in extremely critical condition after the assault. An investigation into the assault continues, the DA said, and as of now, no charges have been filed. Authorities say the girl's parents returned to their home on Sycamore Avenue in Croydon about 6:30 on Friday to find their daughter seriously injured. Meanwhile, their 20-year-old nephew was later found along State Road in Bensalem with what was described by police as a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the throat. He remains hospitalized in stable condition. There's no further word on the circumstances surrounding the incident. Police ask anyone with information or anybody who may have surveillance video in Croydon or Bensalem to contact the crime tip line or Detective Tim Furman. A judge has ruled Meek Mill should remain behind bars while appealing a prison sentence for violating probation, saying the rapper's drug use, arrest, and other issues while under supervision merited the jail time.
Mm-hmm.
Judge Denise Brinkley turned down Mill's bid for release on bail in a ruling late Thursday while he appeals the 2 to 4 year sentence she issued for what she said was his fifth probation violation. The judge also defended herself against attacks by Mill's legal and public relations teams, which continued after her latest decision. An attorney for Mill said in a statement Monday that the latest ruling reaffirms the fact that she has turned Meek Mill's case into a personal vendetta. He pointed to a statement 2 weeks ago by city prosecutors who said that they are not opposed to having Mill released on bail because of what they say was the likelihood the original conviction may be partly or completely reversed. The arresting officer in Mill's case was among the police officers and prosecutor's office has sought to keep off of the stand because of the credibility questions. The DA's office also said it has a policy of generally not requesting more than 6 to 12 months for technical violations of probation or parole. All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Once again, the Villanova Wildcats are national champions. guard Dante DiVincenzo came off the bench to make 5 threes and scored 31 points to lift Nova to a blowout win 79-62 over Michigan for their second national title in 3 seasons.
Is he the one they call the Big Ragu?
Yes.
Yeah.
The sophomore guard had 12 points and an assist during a first half run to help the Wildcats pull ahead, then score 9 straight for Villanova midway through the second half. On their way to the school's third overall title, Villanova won all 6 games by double digits over this tournament run, joining Michigan State, Duke, and North Carolina. Tonight, the Flyers, Sixers, and Phillies all play teams from New York. The Flyers will be in Brooklyn to take on the Islanders. The Sixers will be at home to host the Brooklyn Nets, and the Phillies will be in Queens to face the Mets. With only 3 games left in the regular season, the Flyers are in 3rd place in the Metro Division, tied with the Columbus Blue Jackets and 2 points behind the Pittsburgh Penguins. Game time tonight against the Islanders is set for 7 o'clock and will be broadcast right here on WMMR. The Sixers have won 10 games in a row and are now back home tonight against the Brooklyn Nets with Dario Saric. Forward Dario Saric will not play due to cellulitis in his right elbow. He got cellulitis after he got cut diving for a loose ball last Wednesday against the Knicks, and it got infected over the last few days. Cellulitis is a bacterial infection of the skin and tissue beneath the skin.
Yeesh.
Tip-off in South Philly is set for 7 o'clock. And the Phils, last night's game against the Mets was postponed and rescheduled as part of a single admission doubleheader on Monday, July 9th. They're scheduled to play tonight in Queens, and the first pitch is set for 7 o'clock. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs,
yes!
And now Villanova Wildcats are the NCAA champs.
There you go.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
Beautiful thing. Thank you very much, Kathy. And maybe a few stragglers still staying up from that celebration. At
no doubt.
I don't know, man.
A lot of them lawyers, I assume. Yeah, budding lawyers.
Yeah. They don't have to go to class if you got a bottle hanging around. Stay up as long as you can. So we are loaded with plenty of things to do today. Number one and first to alert you of is MMR's birthday bucks. We gave away a grand yesterday at around 8 a.m.
And the giving continued throughout the day.
Yeah, it did. We're going to continue to do it today, day number two. And this is Monday through Friday for the next 6 weeks. It's part of our 50-year celebration. And 8 a.m. is your next shot at it. So it's real simple. We just give you a special word that you need to text to a special number. You have about a 15-minute window to do it. And then we randomly draw one. And it just might be you simply from sending that tiny little text.
Stinking little text.
All right, so we're doing that 8, 11, 1, 4, and 6 p.m. each and every day, and it is sponsored by A&T Chevy in Sellersville. So that is coming up, and we're having Dr. J on the show today.
It's very cool.
That is correct. Julius Erving is me on the program. He has a yet another statue that's going to be in his honor. This time it's going to be at the practice facilities that the Sixers use, their training complex. So we'll talk to Dr. J later on this morning, and I'm excited about this as well. Meredith Baxter and Michael Gross, Mr. and Mrs. Keaton,
yeah,
from Family Ties, are going to be here in our studio today.
Yes.
They are going to be performing at the Bucks County Playhouse the 4th through the 8th, so they're doing Love Letters, which is...
Which they've done like 30 times together, apparently.
No kidding.
Yeah, right, so yeah.
That's really cool, man.
That is cool.
So they'll be in our studio today. We have a bunch of other things, stupid question, lesson learned, all that. We'll take a quick break. We will come back in just a moment or two, and I will ask that stupid question, and we'll get into the entertainment report. Oh, my God. A big breakup in the celebrity world.
It's going to rock your world.
I don't know who it is.
We'll come back in a moment with those details. Stay there.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love Diamond Engagement Ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hey, Kathy. So, stupid question this morning. We give away some sweet tickets for the AAA 400 Drive for Autism Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race coming up May 6th at Dover International Speedway. So, the question, this I did not know. Michael Jackson's 1988 autobiography Moonwalk was edited by a very famous person. Do you know who that was?
I do.
215-263-WMMR. I'm sure you do. Michael Jackson's 1988 autobiography, Moonwalk, was edited by who?
Call right now. Let's see if you know the answer. I have a whole lot of birthdays today to go through while we're waiting for your answer to come in. Yes?
No, but right, go right ahead.
I thought you said, by the way.
Yeah.
All right. So Tuesday, April 3rd, birthdays include Ben Mendelsohn, the actor. He's celebrating his 49th birthday today.
And solid actor.
Has a movie in the theaters right now. He's the main nemesis in Ready Player One.
He plays
Nolan Sorrento. That is correct.
Were you happy with his performance?
Yeah, he was good. He was a douchebag. Yeah, he played that well.
So I was expecting somebody different, though. I don't know why. I was expecting a blonde guy or something. Like
really?
That. Yeah.
Okay.
He plays a jerk in Bloodline, which I watched, loved, and I got Nick to watch. Did you finish it, Nick?
I did. Yeah, he's a great
he's bad a good dick.
Yeah, he is. He's the bad guy in what is it?
Rogue One,
and Batman Begins, and he's a really good bad guy.
Yeah, 49 today,
dickhead.
Dark Knight Rises, I meant.
Also celebrating birthday today, Sebastian Bach.
Oh my God,
former lead singer of Skid Row, and he's the big 50 today.
He's actually, as far as aging rockers go, he's held on to it a bit.
Yeah,
he's, you know, but it's clear he's up there.
Yeah. He's not that. All right, so. Hey, we like to talk, do things on the bus.
Like to, no. That was Warrant.
That was Danny Lane.
Like to
rock and roll, do stuff, you know.
Yeah. No, Sebastian Bach's 50 today. Amanda Bynes also has a birthday.
So what's the status with Amanda Bynes?
The last, it was like a year ago, she had a little video that said she did an interview, and it was with a fashion interview. And remember, it was like, oh my God, you guys, and all this and so on. But she had said that she was going to start acting again. We haven't seen anything from that. She obviously had some mental health issues, which is too bad. She's a great comedic actress.
She really was a lot of fun.
She was a budding young star.
But if it means her mental health to stay out of acting and to stay away from that, that's the priority, obviously.
So she's 32 today. Jenny Garth from, of course, 90210. Is 46 years old today.
And now she's doing a show with Tori Spelling.
Okay.
Which is sort of a parody of 90210.
I just talked to somebody who did PR for her for a little while and said that she was who you think she is. Like, she was just the nicest
bitch.
Person. No, she wasn't.
Oh, so, nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
My buddy, the florist, is like, I don't want to say he's like a personal florist for her, but he does a lot of work for her.
Imagine being a personal florist for Jenny Garth.
That's well, like 2 days in a row and two stories about your florist buddy.
Yeah.
He's all over the place.
Dude, he's
someone's getting free flowers.
Well, I mean, it's for me, I think it's hilarious because
I'd like to talk to you.
We were such huge 90210 fans. We went to We went to the Philly Auto Show 1 year just because Ian Ziering was doing an appearance
right.
Yeah.
Also today, Adam Scott, not the golfer, the actor, hilarious, Step Brothers. He's the evil brother, and he is so damn funny in it.
That movie is so good, though you shouldn't, because it's a travesty to watch it in an edited version. I did so over the weekend, and the scene where he is making nice with Will Ferrell, I don't know, do we hug? Yeah. And this bizarre contortion that they attempt to pull off is so hilarious.
And I love, punch me in the face. Punch me in the effing face.
I don't know. I don't want to strangle you so much anymore.
Parks and Recreation, of course, and just a ton of stuff. He does dramatic stuff. He was in Black Mass. He's been in...
he was in Big Little Lies, too.
Yeah.
Have you watched the greatest show ever, which is that short series on Adult Swim where they recreated... I told you, they recreated the credits to Heart to Heart and all this stuff. It's hilarious.
And you guys see The Overnight? It's with him and Jason Schwartzman. It was kind of an indie movie, but the basic premise of the movie was that Adam Scott has a microphallus and Jason Schwartzman is hung like a horse.
That works for me.
That's what the movie's about?
That's pretty much what the movie's about.
I'm in.
And at the end, there's a reveal.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. He's 45 today. Eddie Murphy also celebrates his birthday. The great Eddie Murphy is 57.
Do you want to know a little known fact that Eddie Murphy and I were on the same wall of comedians? Because our names end in M's.
Yeah. Really? Mm-hmm. Where?
It was at the Dixon's White House, which used to be a club owned by a guy who made an entire living decades after Nixon had been out of office. He looked like Richard Nixon.
Wow.
So, but for young comedians coming up, that was one of the few places where you could go and try any material.
Okay.
You get like $5.
All right, Eddie Murphy's 57. I'm sure he got $5 too.
He got his $5.
David Hyde Pierce, of course, you know from Frasier.
Yes,
and several other credits as well. He's 59. It's Alec Baldwin's birthday today, and a milestone birthday for him. He's celebrating his 60th birthday today.
Wow.
Yep, and he's been busy.
I guess he and Hilaria are going out to the Outback Steakhouse.
Maybe for a special, you get a free Bloomin' Onion on your birthday. Maybe. So maybe that's
maybe.
Where they're going.
I don't know.
I don't know. Then you have Matthew Good. He's been in a bunch of stuff. In Watchmen, Steve, he was Ozymandias.
Has he done much else?
He was in The Imitation Game. He's here and there.
Steve, you know, he's in the second season of The Crown. He marries the Queen's sister.
Oh, he's the one who's wearing that superhero costume.
No. That's show. That's Watchmen.
No, actually, he's very good.
He's 40 today, so a big birthday for him as well. Kobe Smulders, who we love from the Avengers and a few of the other Avengers films, The Age of Ultron and Winter Soldier and How I Met Your Mother. Obviously, she's 36 today.
I feel like she's a girl I could have asked out in college and she would have said no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you have the right to...
Oh, she would absolutely would have said no. Yeah.
Ari Spears, been by here many times.
The great thing about Ari Spears is that he has no filter.
Yes.
He has no filter.
None. Yep, absolutely. He's 43. And the last birthday I see today... Doris Day.
Wow.
Is 96 years old today.
Isn't it like a group of people that show up every year on her birthday and sing Que Sera, you know, that signature song on her front lawn, and she turns the hose on them? No, every year they do that.
I don't know.
I loved her. Were you a fan of Doris Day?
When I was a kid, a pretty endearing movie for us to watch was Please Don't Eat the Daisies.
Yeah.
It would be on, you know, it'd pop up on TV every once in a while, and it was kind of a family, let's sit down and watch the movie.
The only time she departed from her, you know, happy-go-lucky character was she was a slave owner in Amistad.
Oh, okay. We'll have to go back and see that.
It's just a complete departure. And I don't know why they went with Doris Day.
Doris Day is 96 today, by the way. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Michael Jackson's 1988 autobiography, Moonwalk, was edited by who? 215-260.
What?
Hang on. Let me go to Brandy. Hi, Brandy. How you doing? Brandy?
You're a fine girl.
Are you
girl.
A fine girl? Are you there? No.
Nope. Wait a second.
What?
Okay, never mind.
There was two people with...
Was there?
Oh, no. They changed the answer.
All right, hang on a second. Let me go to... I just couldn't hear from Brandy. Let me go to Chris. Hey, Chris, good morning. Chris, are you there?
Yeah.
There we go.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. Chris, do me a favor. Tell me who edited the autobiography Moonwalk by Michael Jackson.
She's not from Delco, but her name is Jackie Onassis.
That is correct.
Yeah. Yes. That's right. Good times.
But it was spelled Jackie Onassis on her monitor. That's why.
Jackie Onassis.
I thought it was kind of funny. All right, Chris, hang on the line because we're going to give you sweet tickets for the AAA 400 Drive for Autism Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race.
NASCAR.
May 6th. And that's race weekend at Dover International Speedway, May 4th through the 6th. And it's right around the corner. It is 3 days of great racing and so much more. Tickets to the AAA 400 Drive for Autism start at just $50 at doverspeedway.com. Let's get into things. We'll begin with Bill Cosby. Jury selection began yesterday.
It's going to take a while.
More than half of the 100 potential jurors being questioned, they claim that they have already formed an opinion about his guilt or innocence.
Oh my God!
Well, since you can't fight that, the likelihood of finding an entire jury comprised of people who have no opinion whatsoever on this, mm-hmm. it's going to be an insurmountable task.
I mean, they said that literally everyone coming in will have heard this. Like, there's not going to be, and probably form an opinion. How will they ever create a jury?
Well, all but 10 potential jurors say they have some knowledge about the case. So there are 10 people that say that they don't really know about it. So
okay.
So they did weed through and find a handful of people. To make matters more complicated, though, every single potential juror, save one, has heard or seen something about the Me Too movement, which was created to expose and eliminate sexual misconduct in the entertainment industry and beyond. So they're at least aware of that.
They're not going to find the perfect jury. They're just looking for... You've been through the process, Preston, when you know, just recently.
They want to find the best group of people they can. I mean, you know, I don't know exactly what the rules are. But they will narrow it down and they'll find a group of people. Since his first trial in 2017, the Me Too movement has gained steam after widespread sexual misconduct was revealed in Hollywood. Experts say the changing mood of the country will impact Cosby's trial. This is according to Richard Gabriel, a jury consultant who has worked in more than 1,000 trials. He told McCall, we really have had this explosion of awareness since that last trial, and it has changed the entire environment. It's a huge challenge for the defense, but it could also provide an avenue and open up the topic. Another professional, Harvard Law School professor, defense attorney as well, Alan Dershowitz, told McCall, there is no question that this is a very difficult time to try someone who has been accused of sexual assault. For some jurors, the whole movement will be on trial because Cosby has been the poster person for this kind of accusation.
Dershowitz would be a good lawyer. Remember, he defended Klaus von Bülow?
No.
Who is that? The guy who had... The rumor was had poisoned his wife, Sonny von Bülow. You don't remember that story from years ago? Okay, no. It was made into a movie.
So anyhow, that continues. They're trying to search, but they had to weed through a whole bunch already and just get rid of them. All right, here's the breakup that I alluded to earlier. Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan Tatum are splitting up after nearly 9 years of marriage.
Yeah, my wife sent me this last night. She's like, man, this one disappoints me, and I just assume they're all going to fail, you know. So I don't know.
And you're too busy thinking about how you'd ask guy Colby Smulders.
Yeah.
No, this sucks because it does seem, you know, occasionally when people say, you know, hey, you've been married for a while. I said, well, listen, it can work when you know, it's the right people, and you point to these two. I'd say, look at them. They're loving life and the living and the loving of life.
They announced this on social media. They have one child, a four-year-old girl named Everly, and they wrote, we have lovingly chosen to separate as a couple.
We've lovingly chosen to separate.
We feel deeply in love. We fell deeply in love so many years ago and have had a magical journey together.
Now
our journey has come to a crashing end.
Yeah.
Full of fist fighting and screaming and drug addiction.
Listen to this. They said, absolutely nothing has changed about how much we love one another.
Don't even... notice to celebrities splitting up.
Steve, do you want to
We know there's not as much love as you try to indicate that there is, or else you would stay together.
Yeah. They said, but love is a beautiful adventure. So it's not only is it a journey, it's an adventure too.
Right.
Yeah.
Love is a beautiful adventure that is taking us on different paths for now.
You know, maybe we didn't get along so well together, but there'll always be love. And I know you didn't like me, and I didn't like you none either, but now we got to stay together for the kid.
The brothers together be sitting there, and it's not them from Duggan.
Wait, Rocky broke up with Adrian.
Rocky is
boxing world.
Exactly.
Translating.
I had no idea.
What are you saying?
Say that you're a little troll.
Troll.
There's no Russian word for troll.
I didn't know you could speak Russian.
It's amazing.
You're good.
He picks it up like a sponge.
All right. So anyhow,
look. Listen. This is going to sound very superficial. Look at her.
Oh, she's stunning.
You couldn't keep that together? Look at him.
Look at him, though. You know?
Look at me.
That doesn't always mean that it's going to be wonderful.
That's the benefit, I think. And I think of being unattractive is that you appreciate marriage more.
It said their adventure is taking them on different paths now. There are no secrets nor salacious events at the root of our decision.
He's a great guy. He's been in here a couple of times. Regular guy?
Just two best friends realizing it's time to take some space and help each other live the most joyous, fulfilled lives as possible.
Nice.
They're just sick of each other.
That's it. You dumbass!
Yeah. So the couple asked that they also said that they would not have any further comment and asked for privacy. The two met on the set of the 2006 film Step Up and quickly became known for their adoring social media tributes, jokes for each other, and posts about their child.
See, I see them as like a Ryan Reynolds, Blake Lively union.
Yeah, yeah.
And I better not hear anything going on over there.
They also reenacted a classic Step Up scene for the 10th anniversary of the film's release. Earlier this year, Dewan Tatum opened up about the marriage in an interview with Health Magazine. She had said, when people say you guys have such a perfect life, I want to scream and tell them no one's perfect. I think there are such things as great fits. It is a great fit as long as you are growing together. And I think up until this point, we've already grown together.
It's an airtight fit, I'm sure. They're both in incredible shape.
She added that they fight like other couples and they have days where they don't really like each other.
Have you, believe it or not, I've seen those number of those Step Up movies. I'm a sucker for those things, Stomp the Yard and stuff like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You, right, Kathy?
Oh, yeah.
They're so crappy.
They're so good.
And they're good. Because it's always... There's the big dance-off. There's some land developer who's moving into the section of town where they have their dance studio, and they've got to have a dance-off, and it always ends the same way.
Fans took the news of the separation pretty hard on social media.
I'm not happy with it.
I mean, they both seemed like fun. They were on, what was the lip-sync show.
Oh, yeah.
Where they do that, and they battled against each other. They just seemed like a fun couple who did stuff together. Yeah.
That's where I could tell there was a problem.
They had fun with each other, and it's just too bad. So is this from the Step Up?
Or yes.
Is that what we're watching on this monitor right here?
Yep. This is from the movie, Preston.
Oh,
have you never cronked?
No. Never cronked. I've never stomped the yard.
Cronked,
whatever.
Cronk is when you dress as Walter Cronkite.
Well, I've gronked.
You've gronked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mainly just scissor.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
I didn't know that was a verb.
It is now.
Yeah.
You have genitals. You have a penis, though. You can't scissor with, right?
No, scissorp.
Oh, scissorp.
Yeah.
You know, scissorp is a word.
I knew it was a word. I didn't know it was a verb.
Yeah.
It is now.
All right, so I have another story for you. Sometimes even the most well-planned event doesn't turn out the way you anticipated, and now two of the most rigorously polished, trained, and self-edited entertainers in the biz, Jessica Biel and Justin Timberlake, are sharing how their perfectly planned birth had some very unexpected plot twists.
What happened?
Their son, Silas, is about to turn 3 years old, and in their new book, which is called The Nanny Connie Way, Secrets to Mastering the First 4 Months of Parenthood, they document the craziness of how their nanny, a woman named Connie Simpson, ultimately saved the day. But this is interesting.
Is it done tongue-in-cheek, I hope?
No, they had some real issues. They had some real problems, but it's kind of funny. I'll just read an excerpt. It says, our story with Nanny Connie started the day that we brought our son home from the hospital, the couple writes in the excerpt. That may sound like a normal statement coming from new parents, except our birth plan was anything but normal. We had two midwives. We had one doula, one meditation birthing class, a ton of hippie baby books, and a lovely home in the Hollywood Hills that we had turned into a labor training facility that we called the Octagon. So not exactly normal. And then they continue on. It was far from the chillaxed experience they envisioned. They said, when all our plans fell apart and the serene, natural childbirth we had envisioned ended with a transfer to the hospital and an emergency C-section, we arrived home exhausted, disillusioned, and totally in shock. So they had planned
this whole
hippie, homeopathic, and then all of a sudden
it's
time for real medicine now.
Yep. Cut you open.
Mm-hmm.
We'll learn the baby's spirit name.
Right, exactly. She had said, I was obsessed with everything organic, toxin-free, natural, and homeopathic for our kid.
Give me cocaine!
Who came into this world in an operating room through an incision. I was a dictator making myself and my husband insane. So they look back at it and go, you know what?
Yeah, Casey, your friends did this?
Yeah. I felt bad for him because they really wanted to do it all, like, supernatural. I think when they wanted to do the water...
In a pentagram?
No. Like a water birth at like some Bryn Mawr birthing clinic or something like that. And then same exact thing.
It went south.
And you know what? My wife, she didn't want to necessarily do it naturally as far as like no drugs or whatever. But she did want to have a natural birth. And she held on for as long as she possibly could. And then it was very upsetting for her that she had to go have a C-section. But the reality is 25% of births are through a C-section. So when we were doing birthing classes, we were given that stat. We're looking around the room. We're like, okay, those three of us are going to have a what?
What is the perceived benefit of one versus the other? You know, I mean, why does someone decide to do it? My brother did it.
It's medicine.
My brother and his sister-in-law, they did it for both their children and it went perfectly fine. They had a doula and a midwife. And the reason for them was she has a bit of a phobia when it comes to hospitals. And there's a long backstory to that. But they had the backup plan in place. So it's if there's an emergency, if medical care is required, it's there. If it's not, they don't have to go go that route.
Well, and sometimes if they're at like birthing centers, a lot of times the birthing centers are close enough to a hospital. Yep. So if there was an emergency, you quickly can get them there.
Yeah, you don't want one, you know, it's 150 miles away.
Right.
But I'm curious what the mindset is of...
It's medicine.
No.
But what do you mean?
The benefit is that you don't have to get... Eventually, the child will not have to get a learner's permit and get to the license immediately.
Well, so the people that I know that have done this in the past and are currently doing it, they don't want the medicine. They don't want the epidural. They don't want that running through their body and into the child's bloodstream.
Okay, so that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyhow, they had the plan, and then they needed a doctor. So she had said, Silas, by the way, will celebrate his 8th birthday, and they're curious if they want another kids. And Timberlake said in an interview, I want to have as many as I can, if we're being honest, and we'll stick around. The Nanny Connie Way, Secrets to Mastering the First 4 Months of Parenthood by Connie Simpson, drops on April 10th. So
okay.
That's their book.
So she got it.
The latest development in the Stormy Daniels Donald Trump saga comes from an unlikely corner. Seth Rogen. Rogen appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres show yesterday, claiming that he and Daniels go way back and that he had heard about her alleged affair with Trump nearly a decade ago. He said, I've known Stormy Daniels a long time, and I'll be honest, she may have mentioned some of this stuff around 10 years ago.
Was she in Knocked Up?
And 40-year-old virgin.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. He said, at the time, when you ask a porn star who they've been sleeping with and they answer with Donald Trump, it was like the least surprising thing that she could have ever said.
Yeah.
And apparently she played a stripper and a porn star, respectively, and Knocked Up in 40-year-old virgin.
I'm surprised she wasn't in Zach and Mary Make a Porn Movie.
Yeah. He added that at the time he didn't realize what huge repercussions the story would have. He said, again, it wasn't that surprising then. As Trump's campaign rolled out, it became clear that no one cared about anything he did. So it didn't really occur to me that it would come out or anyone would care about it. But then when I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, Stormy told us about that. So he actually heard about it way back when. Trump is threatened to sue Daniels for allegedly violating a non-disclosure agreement 20 times. So that continues.
Yeah, so she's going to be dancing at Club Risque in November. Kath, you sent that over to
us.
Yes,
of course I did. I'm right on top of those
Kathy
things.
Gets the monthly...
you know, but what's weird
calendar
is,
of events at Club Risque. She's such a stripper club hound.
What's you know, so believe it or not, I was, you know, contacted about, you know, having her when she's in town, and people are like really like touchy about this, as if I don't know, like, it's, to me it's like, wow, yeah, of course we want to have her in.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I don't know if we want to have her in, because like, does that place us somewhere politically? Do you know what
no,
I mean?
No, we want to ask her what it was like.
Yeah.
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I think at this point, by that time, it'll been asked 14,000 times. But yeah, she's a pop culture person. Of course. Yeah.
Who was getting touchy about it?
I can't. People. I don't want to say.
No.
I don't want to. I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say, but somebody said no. And
oh,
then.
That's funny. Wow. All right. Well, anyhow, Seth Rogen was involved. We should have a clip of this next story here, Casey.
All right.
Kendra Wilkinson, a week after reports began circulating that the end was near in her relationship, posted a series of emotional videos on her Instagram stories yesterday that seemed to confirm a split from her NFL star husband, Hank Basket.
She annoys the F out of me. I mean, in ways you cannot even imagine. Jesus. But, you know, she's crying. You don't want to see anyone upset, but she gives her statement, Preston, if you have it there.
10 years. I did everything I could.
10 years.
It wasn't good enough. I will always love him. And my heart will always remain open for him. I believed in forever. I really did. Guess it's just not meant to be. I'm so scared, but I have to get strong. For my kids, I will. Never thought I'd see the day, really.
Wow.
Is there no time or no point in her life where she would consider just keeping something private?
Is there no thought
or no time of mourning that would ever be something you would just conduct behind the doors of your home without putting it out for the world to see? I think she's such a creature. She was one of the first to be out in the quote-unquote reality show world. And she's just never stopped living out in the world like this. She's been her career has been over, at least as far as that.
Yeah, but she needs
for a long,
this.
Right?
She needs the support of strangers.
Yeah, yeah. It's like someone who needs that last bump, you know?
Yeah.
Don't ever post a video of yourself crying.
Well, and it's swimming. She's out there fishing for you know, comfort.
Sympathy.
Food.
I understand.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to tell you something. I completely understand. A little while ago, I broke up with my wife here in front of the Russian consulate.
You know what? I need different Rocky music. I need, like, that sad Rocky music, because all I have is the uplifting and then the Eye of the Tiger. So when you hit that stuff, I need that.
It's not really a ballad. Wasn't the story with Hank Basket, too? They were about to be divorced because he was...
he was with, like, a
transgender,
a transvestite, or
he had an affair.
A Trans Am. He was banging a car.
No, he had an affair with a transgender model in 2014. She was 8 months pregnant at the time.
But Kendra was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, not the transgender.
Kathy,
I have a book that explains it all. Why don't you come over here? Over to Caitlin's house.
So this was, while she was ready to pop. So I don't know how they even lasted after that, because here she is pregnant.
Is Basket still playing?
No. I don't know. Long time ago.
I saw two articles that referred to him, made no mention that he, I mean.
Yeah, they said NFL star.
Star?
What?
Star? Where?
Former NFL player.
Yes.
Exactly.
More accurate.
Put it that way. So anyhow, she's all upset about it, and she said that there were a couple other comments. She said, today will be the saddest, scariest day of my life. Today, I will have to be the strongest I've ever been. Today, my rebirth begins. They have two kids, by the way. Hank the fourth, who is 8, and daughter Aaliyah. I'm not sure. She's 3 years old.
They don't even know. They have to watch the show to find out.
Chrissy Teigen kept the internet on his toes as she live tweeted her husband John Legend's starring role in Jesus Christ Superstar. Did you guys see it? I didn't even know it was on.
I think NBC dropped. It was NBC, right? Dropped the ball massively on this, because you know me. I usually watch all these freaking things. I watched the Passion when they did that. I think it was last year. I didn't. All I've heard, though, is that it was great.
My wife watched it.
The ratings were through the roof, they said. It's 9.4 million viewers, putting it ahead of all other original telecasts for the night.
I'm not a fan, though, of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah.
As a musical, I've never liked it. The reason I don't like it is around the time that priests started getting all folk singery in church, there was a point in time, Preston, where the younger priest would come in with the guitar and you go, oh, no. It's going to be a song from Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, we had a folk band for Easter Mass.
I don't know how to love you.
I just don't like when people sing opera style with acoustic guitars. It just doesn't sound right to me.
He's just a man.
So not everyone was delighted, even though it did very, very well. Former Fox News host Bill O'Reilly was also watching the show, and he tweeted, watching JC Superstar on NBC, who knew Jesus of Nazareth ran a tattoo parlor? Jeez. So Teigen responded to her 10-plus million followers, and it soon went viral. She wrote, yes, the shop specializes in cover-ups that aren't $32 million.
Oh!
That's a pretty good comeback.
It's his payoff for the...
In just over 12 hours, the tweet garnered 135,000 likes and 17,000 retweets. But that was a fact, too. Yes, the fact that... he left Fox last year over sexual harassment allegations and reportedly paid $32 million.
Well, don't lie!
Fox News analyst who accused him of harassment. That's pretty good comeback.
Thing sucks!
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that just don't post anything.
Yeah.
Wait, come on!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can't stay away. Stranger Things star Millie Bobby Brown is set to make a whopping $3.2 million for the forthcoming third season of her popular Netflix show.
And she's 14, right?
Yeah. All the kids and the cast have negotiated significant pay hikes this season, and now Brown's pay is set to be $250,000 to $350,000 per episode.
You know who's good? The kid with the speech impediment or whatever it is.
The teeth thing?
Yeah, but he's the spokesman for Verizon.
Yep.
And does a good job.
He's doing some work outside of that. Up from the $25,000 she was contracted to receive, if she earns the full $350,000, that'll put her on equal footing with adult co-star Winona Ryder. So she's definitely the breakout
character. The main focus of the whole series is, I mean, besides the kids, is her and her story.
Yeah. Tiger Woods and ex-girlfriend Kristen Smith are fighting a legal battle as she's trying to get out of a non-disclosure agreement that she signed at the end of their relationship.
Is this the Perkins waitress?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Smith, who dated Woods from 2015 to 2017, so they were together for a while, claims that the agreement isn't enforceable for an undisclosed reason, and the two are in arbitration over the her attempt to get out of it.
I wonder how legally binding, and we're seeing these things put to the test, these NDAs, these non-disclosure agreements are, you know? I mean, how...
I mean, for a girlfriend, though?
Yeah.
I don't get that.
They said it's not uncommon, though. TMZ Sports cited a source as saying Woods has threatened to release embarrassing pictures of Smith if she doesn't comply with the terms of the NDA.
Is that legal?
Which he reportedly offered her an undisclosed sum to sign, although it's not clear if she accepted it. Now, that's rumors.
Sure.
Smith reportedly believes Woods cheated on her during their relationship, and that's why they broke up. Woods had several affairs while he was married to ex-wife Elin Nordgren. It's not uncommon for pro athletes or celebrities to have romantic partners sign NDAs so that if they break up, the other person can't publicly disparage them or harm their reputation.
Well, you can see that also because, I mean, if you're a high-profile sports star, people, you can be targeted for that reason.
But at what point do you do that? Is that like a second date thing?
right before the handy.
Yeah.
Right before the hand.
Could you sign this, please?
Listen, since you have one hand available.
Yeah.
Sign this.
And I bet you it's
here's
not
a pen.
I bet you it's not them though. Like the person saying, it's, "Hey, here, sign this."
My name is Bonnie Singer.
Yeah, yeah.
Before
seriously.
You proceed with that manual stimulation, I have a few documents you'd sign. And by the way, I'd recommend you use a hand lotion.
Yeah.
My client tends to chafe about the genital region.
He's in the back seat.
Right.
Well, but
I see your head making a trajectory towards his lap, and before we enter into this realm of oral gratification, there are a few documents I'd like you to sign. And don't worry, the notary is in the trunk.
Yeah, but it's a way for them to say, well, they make me do it, you have to sign it, like,
yeah,
not
no.
to put it on them.
It's exactly. Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. That's a perfect deflection.
He can't give her pleasures until that's how they pitch it.
Pleased to meet you. You're a lovely young woman, and I'm sure you're going to make him have many orgasms. But before we enter into that, please stand behind, stand in front of this cyclorama. I need to take a picture of it.
So anyhow, we'll see what comes
up. A passport will do.
And then one last story, and we didn't get a chance to touch on this yesterday, but producer and writer Stephen Bochco passed away.
He was great, man.
I was
a huge fan of the show Hill Street Blues, and that was his baby.
Yeah, he was 74 years old. He had leukemia, I believe.
Yeah.
And Steven Spielberg has opened up about his 47-year relationship with Stephen Bochco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he said, Steve was a friend and a colleague starting with the first episode of Columbo in 1971 that he wrote and I directed. I didn't know they had that relationship.
Yeah, together. Going all the way back. And you know who posted a really good thing, a really nice thing about him? Apparently he was friends with Frank Grillo.
No kidding.
Yeah, so on Grillo's Instagram account, he posted.
Spielberg said, we have supported and inspired each other ever since, and through many deep mutual friendships, we have stayed connected for 47 years. I will miss him terribly. And other Hollywood honchos continue to share their grief and memories on Twitter as well.
Hill Street Blues is one of the first shows I can remember where you would, a drama where you would have, the show would end and it would live with you. Like, it was like,
wow, that
really caught me. It was that well done. Yep.
If this theme song had words, how would it go, do you think?
Hill Street Blues, Hill Street Blues. Look at those hills, they have street blues.
Hill Street Blues. That's what I thought.
Loving tribute.
I think so.
Checking.
There's Stephen Bochco. All right, we should do the clips now. Let's please do those. Mystery clips?
Nope.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, they're mysteries to us.
All right, well, here we go. CBS Criminal Minds will continue to surprise audiences after 13 seasons.
It's just unbelievable.
In this clip, Padgett Brewster talks about the unexpected criminals written on the show. Here we go.
There have now been 254 episodes of Criminal Minds or something, and those writers have had to come up with ways for a serial killer to kill victims that we would have already arrested 10, 20 times over, but they have to fabricate them.
I want to see you naked.
I have a thing for her.
I love Padgett Brewster.
In a big way.
Yeah.
And
big and veiny.
I don't know. I can't. Whenever I see her on screen, I have to stop and watch for a little bit.
I think she's not obviously She's quietly sexy.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's got a, her, she, and this is nitpicky, I find it sexy about her. Her nose is just a little bit large, and I don't know why I find that hot.
It's a taint tickler.
It's a taint tickler. I didn't think about that, but it might be. Yes.
No, she's a good, by the way, she's a really good actress.
She looks like Demi Moore a little bit.
I find her very pretty.
Do you know she was on the show, Casey? You were watching Grandfathered, right, with John Stamos?
Yeah.
She was.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, she was his ex-wife.
Okay. I was watching the that other one.
Fred Savage one?
The Grinder. The Grinder.
Criminal Minds airs Wednesdays on CBS. Let's do the next clip. And the new Klum.
This is the.
Damn it.
Klingon Entertainment Report.
On new Klum.
No.
Block Doc, Block Doc.
I was going to say comedy, and it's called blockers, which is the next word here that I have in my script. So I got comedy and blockers together, and you get clomedy. In the new comedy, Blockers, three parents go to extreme lengths to try to stop their daughters from having sex on prom night. Mm-hmm. Here, John Cena talks about learning how to speak emoji for the film.
Eggplant, definitely. Trees, snowflake, the peach thing. The peach, I learned about the peach, like that's the fancy bottom part. And the eggplant is the twig of the twig and berries. I don't think there's a berries.
Shut the f*** up!
Blockers opens this Friday. I haven't really seen much about this movie.
He is, he's actually very good in comedies.
I love him. I think he's awesome.
Really, he is a talented dude.
Yep.
He's got the widest neck on earth.
He does. And I tell you what, when he was here in our studio, he was just
great guy.
The nicest guy. And Casey arm wrestled him.
That arm wrestle video is...
I almost beat him.
He's, so you're literally
trying
hemorrhaging. Cena is not even... There's not even a hint of a quiver at all. Nothing.
He's no, just, it would be... It's the equivalent of me arm wrestling my son right now. You know?
Yeah, there you go. That's a good analogy. All right, anyhow, that is what I have for you in the Entertainment Report this morning. We're less than an hour away from your opportunity to win $1,000 in cash. This is just beginning. Yesterday, we gave away a whole lot of money, $5,000 total. We're doing it again today, and then we're doing it tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the week 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 after that. It's 6 weeks of this whole thing five times a day.
Over the past year and a half, 2 years, We've given away more money than I think ever in our careers, right?
Yeah.
It's just been a crazy amount of money.
We continue that on 8 a.m. It is MMR's birthday bucks, and it's real simple. We give you a word that you text into a certain number, and you have a 15-minute window to do it, and then you just sit back and wait and see if we draw you randomly, and you win $1,000. It's very, very easy. So that is coming up as close to 8 o'clock as we can get it. In the meantime, we got some movie passes. We have the screening of Rampage with Dwayne Johnson, of course. That's going to be on Monday. 7:30 at the UA Riverview, and I'll take three callers right now, 215-263-WMMR. We will put you on the list. It doesn't hit theaters till April 13th, so let it get you some tickets. We'll be back in just a moment. If you guess on the program, tell you about them when we return. Stay there.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dorothy. Take me down to the bottom. Fozzy. Should've said Stone Temple Pilots.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Later on this morning, we will have not only Dr. J on the program, but we'll also have Meredith Baxter and Michael Gross, who will be in our studio.
Yeah.
You know, the Keatons.
The Keatons.
From Family Ties. They're going to be performing at the Bucks County Playhouse April 4th through the 8th. They're doing Love Letters, so they're stopping in this morning. And we have your chance to win some serious cash, $1,000 with MMR's birthday bucks. And that will start about 8 o'clock. We'll have your opportunity to win thousands. Really, really simple, by the way. And I'll get you the details in a little bit. I saw this. Casey saw it as well over the weekend. I first caught this on Twitter. Bert Kreischer had retweeted it, and it kind of piqued my interest because if you ever see a tweet that comes up and you see the likes tripping over, like several at a time, you're like, okay, people are really getting into this. What's going on? What is it? I'm not a big fan of live tweeting, but this one I got caught up in. And it was very interesting. And from a guy named Zach Toscani. I have no idea who he is.
I think he's a stand-up comedian. Not at the level of like
Bert Kreischer.
Yeah. But, probably...
An up-and-comer?
Well, it's somebody who has a day job as well.
Okay. Yeah, I have no idea who he is. I looked, he had a nominal amount of followers, and I was like, okay, but people are... somehow or another their interest has been piqued in this. And the first tweet that he sent out was, coworker got his lunch stolen, and they've agreed to let him watch the security camera tape.
Oh, yeah.
This is the most excited I've ever been at any job ever. Ever, he wrote. So it goes from there. And he is live tweeting what's going on in and around the office. The next tweet says, the lunch in question was shrimp fried rice, which means this escalates from a misdemeanor to felony, no doubt. Lunch was in fridge for less than an hour before it vanished. No shrimp smell remnants in the microwave or kitchen area. This was a professional hit, no doubt. And then he wrote, holy yes, he's back. He watched the tape. He knows who did it. So the man whose lunch was stolen sits right across from me. The person who stole his lunch sits right next to me. She left for the day before the investigation started.
So the lunch was stolen and thrown out.
Well, yeah, he gets to that. According to the video, this psychopath didn't even eat the food. She took it out of the fridge and threw and buried it in the trash.
Wow. Do you think she thought it was rotten?
It may have been a smell issue.
Her motives remain completely unknown. In lieu of what he saw on the tape, he has decided to not press the matter anymore. I can't say I blame him. We don't know what this woman's fully capable of. He goes on to say, points to clarify. He bought the shrimp fried rice around 11:30 a.m. carryout and put it in the fridge to chill until he takes lunch at noon. So it only been in there for 30 minutes.
Couldn't have been stinking up that much.
No. So she had exactly a 30-minute window of time to do what she did. There was no intention of microwaving the food. And then he goes, update. And unfortunately, I don't have the timestamps here on how much delay between each of these tweets. It says, update. Okay, so when dude watched the video with HR, they asked, what do you want us to do about it? And he told them that he was solely interested in who did it and that he didn't want to be responsible for someone getting fired. After charges were dropped, HR sent a company-wide email about not stealing people's lunches. She is scheduled to arrive at work in 20 minutes. My blood is on cocaine. And then he goes, so she's walked into the room, and the room is dead silent. Dead effing silent. Yet there is a palpable explosive energy pulsing through everyone but her. So everybody's waiting to see what happens.
They know she's being set up like an intervention.
From the moment she walked in, I've just been staring at her, watched her open her email, and now she's clicked on the goddamn HR email. Holy effing, strap in, here we go. I said, I can't move. I simply cannot move. Anything could happen right now. And then he goes on to say, after seeing the HR email, she says out loud, whoa, someone stole a lunch? Who would do something like that?
No.
I may have to run out of this room. After she said that, shrimp guy responds, well, yeah, it's not okay to throw someone's food away. We're all about to start screaming. This is about to get crazier. After he says that, she goes on to, oh, it was your lunch? Beat, she continues, well, why would you go to HR about that? She has simultaneously denied her involvement and called the guy who saved her job a snitch. Dude just sighed and went back to work after she said what she said. She looks frighteningly calm. He said, I'll keep updating if anything else occurs, but all I can say is that everyone in the office, from the janitor to the founder, knows what she did. She now carries an invisible scarlet letter. He said, this is real. This is happening. We know who did it, but we don't know why. It's a post-production company, so we're in fact open today. She's been sitting 3 feet from me this whole time. Unbeknownst to the guy and the woman, I just ordered 3 shrimp fried plates for lunch and will be hand-delivering them. She took the fried rice from me with a big smile on her face. She's eating it and loving it. This is utter ruthlessness. So he bought fried rice.
For set her up, yep.
She said, apparently, I love shrimp fried rice. And then Zach goes on to say, I wish I could close this up with a neat little bow, but it appears that we may never know why she did it. Maybe she doesn't know why she did it. Either way, I'm now forced to work 40 hours a week next to a cold-blooded individual. And then he goes back, Monday morning update. I was the first one into the office. She was the second. Just her and I sitting 3 feet away from each other in an empty room for over an hour. Every breath felt borrowed. And he wraps up by saying she has not seen any of this, or she is thoroughly and convincingly pretending not to have seen it. Either way, I'm still alive. Thank you for reading.
Wow.
That's how
Yeah.
What's so funny is that's how tense it can get. We've had multiple, we've talked about multiple situations concerning the cafeteria fridge here. Chuck's cereal bowl being...
Bill threw away Chuck's cereal bowl, man. You know, he loved that bowl.
We tend to forget, by the way, there is a camera in that kitchen.
Yeah, but I don't think it's on. I think Rodney has to turn
it
on.
He has to turn it on, but yeah. It's up in the corner. Yeah. I'd love to.
Yeah.
If you make it known, if you post a sign.
Poor Chuck's cereal bowl, man. I mean, that was something he had as a kid.
But wait a second. Now, about the camera in the
It's in the up corner.
No, I know where it is. Yeah. I know where it is. But Rodney, I think, told me one time that there's another one that he said you'll never find.
Well, are we allowed to have that where people just don't know about it?
I don't know.
Well, there's a good question.
He said you could look for days and you'll never find it. In the women's bathroom?
Yeah, it's in the toilet seat.
Yeah, Chuck Berry. He was a big fan of that. You know, for security purposes, he ran the HR department at his restaurant.
I remember whatever it was 13 years ago when I very first started working with you guys at Y100. I think it was, maybe it was Brett Hamilton. There was a peach in the refrigerator in the break room there, mm-hmm. and somebody ate it, and mm-hmm. he freaked. I mean, like, sent an email out, was like spazzing. I'm pretty sure it was Brett, but it was like one of the first experiences there for me. I was like, okay, so don't bring any lunch.
Brett's very meticulous about certain things, and he wants certain things the way he wants them, and that's understandable. That particular refrigerator over at Y100 was a disaster as well.
Mm.
And there was, we also had, we had a coworker who would always microwave fish.
Oh.
And dear Christ, it stunk. But I mean, even in that case, in this shrimp incident, I can't imagine, other than just being malicious for throwing out the food.
Yeah. That was malicious.
I would never take somebody's, and by the way, there's been some very appetizing stuff I've seen in the refrigerator periodically.
Really?
But to me, that is the big...
Yes. That's a no-no not in my house!
That's the biggest freaking no-no.
Yes!
To use a legal term, no-no.
Listen, it's a no-no in my house, and my wife does it in the house.
Does she eat your stuff without asking you?
Oh, man. And it's like a punch in the nuts when I come home from work or somewhere, and I'm like, oh, man, and I've had this food that's in the... It's
to back you up, by the way, salivating. And you guys will agree, do you know of anyone who starts to get a food in their mind and lock on it more than Casey does?
No. Like,
oh, no, you got it. This place has the greatest onion soup.
Yes.
Onions. And then you'll hear about that, right? I've got to go. And he will go that day to the place or whatever. Uh-huh. So I can understand.
Well, I'm glad Rebel went out of business because I was so excited for their meatballs when we had our big mixer there. I'm so glad they went out of business because when I got there, meatballs weren't on the menu anymore.
So
I was like,
you're glad the business
mother.
Went under?
Yes.
Besides Rebel, you go home and to the refrigerator and you find it happening.
And it's gone. My General Tso's chicken, whatever it is, gone.
I mean, I think in the house, it's like, it's up for grabs. Everybody lives there.
Sounds like someone who steals a lot of her husband's
food. No. But I will say, that's like something you can't touch, especially in an office. Don't touch people's food. Of course not. I think that she probably thought it was rotten and that's why she threw it out. Although she buried it in the trash can.
She buried it in the trash. It was only in there for a half hour as far as this guy time stamped it, which means it was probably still warm.
She was probably mad at the smell. But listen, I've thrown out all of your things in the refrigerator.
Not mine. I never put anything in there.
Well, whatever, because things will sit in there.
Oh, this refrigerator right here? The little fridge in the office?
The little fridge, yes. Okay, and rot away. And at some point, I was just like, okay, enough is enough.
I threw something away in there the other day. It was the Wawa grapes and cheese and crackers.
Yeah, you turned to me. You were like, hey, do you think this is still good?
Yeah, but you know what the thing is? I think I bought that. I think that was my own, and I just forgot that I had bought it, and I had left it in there, and I saw it in there for weeks, and I'm like...
Well, you're the one that loves that.
I know, so I threw it away, but I think I threw my own food away.
I don't think refrigerators of that level, by the way, are good enough to store things like dairy. I don't think they get cold enough.
No, and as soon as you open the door, all the cold air leaves.
Yes. It's small. Now it's a sauna.
It's like a dorm fridge.
It switches from refrigerator to humidor.
Marissa?
Well, and randomly, there'll be like yogurt in there that's a year old, and I wonder, like, none of us even eat this type of yogurt. I did an Instagram story, and it was from Kevin Reardon.
So he puts our stuff fridge?
In it? Overnight puts, because our fridge is closer to the studio.
No, Kevin,
no.
We need a lock.
Yeah, get your own
fridge. Wait. Listen, what is it? 5 extra yards to the kitchen? Mm-hmm. What is it?
I don't know.
What is he, Stephen Hawking?
People know this is our office, not theirs. Yeah.
That pissed. All right.
Uh-huh.
That pissed me off. We should be able to lock our office door. We have never, in all the time we've been here, we have never been able to lock the office.
I'm going to start storing my sandwiches in his mailbox. That'll teach him. Yeah.
As long as they're not playing with Steve's Batman toys, we're okay.
Oh, my Christ. I forget who.
Somebody brought their kid.
I know who it was.
Who was it?
It was Rabbi.
Oh, God.
What did he do?
He brought his kids in.
Like all of them.
Those aren't toys.
I know. I would have hit him so hard he would have started worshiping Jesus.
The Rabbi's kids being, you know, kids started playing with Steve's stuff. And oh, my God.
They're not
toys. But they're not toys.
These are not toys. These are my friends.
I
cleaned the office when, what was it? When you were sick, Steve, when you had that stomach virus, I cleaned the office.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know I moved some of over because they were dusty. I didn't.
But you care about them.
But as soon, the day Steve got back, they were perfectly placed exactly.
I couldn't even tell.
Order.
And that's someone who loves me who does it that. It's not some kid running in who just destroys just everything.
I'm going to go to John. Hey, John, you're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, I'm going to pick ass.
Monkey pickaxe.
What's up, John?
So, I work in an auto shop, and, you know, we have little fridges here, and I have my own little fridge. It's my own, but I let people use it because I'm a nice guy. And someone brought in hard-boiled eggs, and they let it sit in the fridge, get moldy to the point where the bag expands, and you could smell it through this six-bay shop.
Okay.
So I threw it out. A week later, someone left a note saying, "Who threw my eggs out?"
Wait, they were moldy, you said.
How long does it take for eggs to get moldy?
They were green, and the bag was expanded, and it smelled so bad.
Yeah.
I almost got sick. And, you know, some people really need to, you know, if you're going to leave stuff in the fridge, and I understand, you know, you don't want people to touch it, but find your own stuff. You know what I mean? If it's going to be stinky or gross, especially hard-boiled eggs.
Well, Preston, you remember the fish you left in the air.
We've
talked about this many times. I'd say this. When I open up the refrigerator and I see a bag and a note written on it, you know, do not touch. I think you can go the extra mile if you want to. My lunch, don't touch.
Yeah.
You know, if you do believe there's a pilferer around the
sure,
because
right.
just
put your name on it.
Yeah, put your name on it.
You know what?
Personalize it.
Well, not only a name, but maybe people should start putting a date on it as well.
Yeah.
You know, just so you can have an idea. Of like,
I have herpes. Enjoy.
Yeah. I'm going to go to Al next. Hey, Al, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Great, man. What's up?
Oh, I got the ultimate clean out the freezer story for you guys.
All right.
I own a business down here in Delaware, and one of my guys is used to be kind of a pet hoarder / hoarder, and my office manager was cleaning out the freezer one afternoon, and he comes walking around the corner and says, as she was pulling his black bag out, and says, he says, hey, leave that in there. She says, why, what is it? He goes, well, we had a cat that passed away, and we didn't have the money to get it
cremated.
Oh.
So we
my God.
Put it in the freezer.
Oh, my God.
The work freezer.
Oh, my God.
This can't be true.
Listen, I you know how much I love animals. You want to cremate a cat? Throw it in a drum and set it on fire. You know, I'm a huge animal lover. It's not like you have to have a Viking funeral where you set it and you fire flaming arrows at it.
So, Al, what'd your boss do about that?
Well, I was the boss, so I basically told the guy.
Oh.
He owns the business.
Within the next 20 minutes, or I'm taking care of it.
Yeah. Isn't there, by the way, I don't care how well it's wrapped, you're also, isn't that's like medical waste? Are you not dealing with potential health situations?
I don't know.
Well, to me, the scarier part was there was a popsicle next to it, and my office manager decided that she wanted to have the popsicle.
Oh,
for the love of God.
And this popsicle still looks good. Got no cat fur on it.
I don't know, man. Thanks, Al, by the way. My dad was a hunter, and he shot a wood duck, very beautiful duck, and it was one that he
like a decoy?
Thought about. No. Oh. No. It's called a wood duck.
Oh.
I believe it was a male wood duck, and they're really beautiful. He eventually wanted to get it mounted.
Oh, the plumage is very colorful, correct?
Yeah, they have a really unique look about them. If you pull up wood duck, you'll see what I'm talking about. But anyway, here's if you want to look on Nick's monitor, they're really gorgeous. So anyhow, he had killed one of these on a hunting trip and wanted to eventually get that mounted, so he threw it in the freezer. Dude, it stayed in there for like 6 years.
Are you kidding?
Just never did anything about it. And I pull this thing out. I'm like, we got to get rid of this.
Yes, my husband hasn't come home in 6 years.
So 6 years, when you were taking stuff out of the freezer, you would just move the frozen duck?
Yeah, you'd move the duck around.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so you could find room for the ice cream.
The popsicles are under the duck,
right
next to the cat.
Let me go next to Tanya. Hey, Tanya, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's up, Tanya?
Good, good. Years ago, I was working in an office, and I was about 8 months pregnant. And my husband is an awesome cook. He made Kung Pao chicken for dinner the night before.
Wow.
So I brought the leftovers into work, and being quite pregnant, I was looking quite forward to that meal, only to find it missing. And I went into full, I don't know, my hormones kind of took over. It's bad enough when you're not pregnant and somebody steals your lunch.
Sure.
But I just about lost my mind and launched an all-out investigation. I had signs all over the office. And
did you find out who did it?
Yes, I did, because one of his fellow cubicle workers ratted him out.
Ah,
good.
So when I figured out who it was and where he kept his lunch, I threw his lunch away for a week.
Excellent. That's the hell hath no fury. That's like no woman.
I don't know, man. I'm with you.
No,
I'm with you, Tanya.
I think a week is perfect.
Yeah, okay.
Because that probably stopped you from killing him, right?
Yeah.
It absolutely stopped me from killing him.
You know, because you described again, you have something in the refrigerator you are really looking forward
You're
to.
You're also pregnant.
You are also pregnant. So
mega pregnant.
So you wanted that, and this bastard took it.
It's just not yours.
It's
no,
not, but
you cannot have that.
But why not confront the guy about it?
I'd rather just be passive aggressive and chuck your crap out for an entire week.
Tanya,
did
he ever find out that you found out and that you had indeed been stealing his lunches?
I'm sure he figured it out, but at the time he was not exactly the nicest person in the office, so most people just kind of avoided him.
Yeah.
So pissed off as I was, it was better that I didn't confront him.
That's when you call him up at home, Tanya, and say, by the way, this baby's yours.
I mean, you can almost cut the guy's brake lines, you know, for something like that.
All right, wait, I want to go to this call. This looks interesting. I'm going to go to Jacqueline. She's in HR and currently in the middle of a missing food investigation.
Ah.
Hi, Jacqueline. You're on the air. Good morning.
This is real life, folks.
Okay, this is it.
This is where it gets real.
Are you so you are part of you're in the HR department?
I am.
Okay.
I'm the director. Yeah.
Do tell us.
We had a going away party for a member of staff that's leaving in one department, and everyone brought in food. We had a great time, and they stored it in one particular room and decided all not to bring lunch the next day. And when they came in, it was gone. All of it was gone.
All of it.
So, all of it.
So no turkey stew. No.
None of it. None of it. So I guess the rest of the staff had just decided that they saw some food and they were going to go ahead and eat it. And they're not taking it lightly. This is real business, right?
So what are the ramifications? Because I was just about to ask and throw it out before your call came through. How far can HR go in prosecuting a food theft in a company?
I really have no idea.
Because it seems so petty, but it really, there are times, Jacqueline, when we go into the conference room and there's another conference that's going to get underway and there's food displayed there for them.
You're allowed to take stuff.
No.
You're allowed to take that.
You know, so
I'm with Casey on this one.
No, the one rule is you can take chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
That's legal.
Right.
So, but Jacqueline,
you guys are hypocrites.
Can you go all the way? Can I assume someone would get a reprimand, right? You would never consider firing someone.
I would assume, that some type of don't do that again would occur.
Don't do that again.
Now,
it's a crock pot full of hot dogs, you know, on the one hand, I get it. You know, it was for one individual and, you know, it was a going away party. They put all the work into bringing the food and the rest of the staff just decided that they were going to finish it. But it's also a little absurd.
So does the HR guidebook tell you to take one index finger and slide it down the other in a shame on you fashion?
Like, that's exactly what it says. How did you know
that? I figure as much because it seems like something so petty. But to coworkers, it's something we've, especially with this Twitter exchange or this whole
tweet.
It gets serious because for many people, really, especially like in a cubicle farm, I mean, they've been looking forward to that meal. They've been looking forward to that thing all day, and it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's true.
All right, good luck with the case, Jacqueline.
Thank you.
And by the way, Preston, I don't think we're hypocritical. We're not taking one individual person's lunch. It is a buffet that is set and that is going to that has already been eaten by people, and there's leftovers.
Now, let me give you this scenario. When we have food set out here for meat and eats and so forth, and we have guests and so on, what if staff from the other radio stations just started wandering in and taking food?
That's fine.
They do.
Yeah.
They do, and I don't care.
And you don't care?
No. In fact,
I'll tell you what I don't like is there used to be an individual who would come down and never say hi to us.
Yeah.
And never say, hey, guys, just even a courteous...
And well, then, to me, he would, then, so I didn't mind that as well.
Okay, and then just walk away without,
But he just didn't like you, Steve.
He just didn't like me.
No,
because he stunk up the bathroom when I told everyone about it.
On the air.
There was a maintenance guy, too, that, like, I'm like, no, take the food. Here's a plate.
Take it before you empty the garbage cans, please.
Let me go to Brian. Hey, Brian, how you doing, man?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, bud?
Hey, so middle of summer, it's 110 degrees out. We were iron workers. And my one coworker says, hey, I'm going to go down to the truck and grab a drink. So anyone need anything? The other coworker says, yeah, man, I got a Gatorade in my lunchbox. Can you grab it? So the coworker goes down, goes to get the great Gatorade, and there's a mini Snickers bar in the other coworker's lunchbox.
Oh, man. A mini Snickers bar, the holy grail of lunchboxes.
Right? Well, when you're an iron worker, you wait all day for that lunch, you know?
Yeah.
So lunchtime comes. We're all sitting there eating our lunches. The coworker opens up his lunchbox and sees that mini Snickers bar is missing. Loses his mind, takes off his shirt, out in the middle of a field, the other guy who took the mini Snickers picks up a 2x4.
Oh no.
These two guys are out in the middle of a field with their shirts off. The one guy swinging a 2x4 and the other guy over a minute. The one guy got fired, the other guy went back to work.
So they were like Vikings battling it out in a field over a mini Snickers bar.
Not even a full size.
Brian, do you think it ever occurred to one, after it was all over, that we were fighting over a miniature Snickers bar?
You know what? When you're working that hard and it's that hot out, you look forward to that Snickers bar.
Yeah.
As dumb as it sounds.
No, it does not sound dumb. Listen, after the fact, as you ruminate on it, you probably could have not attempted to kill someone over a 10-cent piece of candy.
So wait,
but in the moment...
Yeah. The guy whose Snickers bar was stolen got fired?
No,
the stealer got fired.
The stealer got fired on the spot,
We'll just call him the pedophile.
Well, he's the one that picked up the 2x4.
Was the guy that picked up the 2x4. Hey, the guy that stole it.
Thank God there wasn't like a rivet gun near you guys.
It was crazy.
That's a great story, man.
Yeah. I love it. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Yep.
I'm going to go over... Let's see. We have a couple of people that have... all right. This was the security cam. This is what I want to find out about. Hey, Jenny, good morning.
Hi, it's really Debbie, but Jenny sounds good for today.
Okay. Debbie, Jenny, whatever you got. All right, so tell us your story of the theft at work.
Okay, so what happened was we get birthday cakes every month for everybody's birthday. So it was our receptionist's birthday, and she decides that she's going to, no one calls everybody together to sing for her, so she gets pissed off. So she says that maintenance guy throws away her lunch or her cake. So the next morning she comes and she goes, I never got a birthday cake. The maintenance guy threw it away. He throws everything away. So we went on the security camera, and you see her go into the kitchen with a friend. she whacks off a giant piece. It's a half sheet cake. It's a really big cake.
Yeah.
Whacks off a piece for her friend and then takes the cake and walks out the door. And she lied about it to the office manager.
She set up to guilt you guys. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She wanted to lay a guilt trip on you.
Forgot her birthday. No one sang to her.
Wow.
I just threw my stuff away.
So
we took a screenshot of her actually walking out with the cake and then showed it to her. And she goes, she didn't know what to say. She was like, yeah, well, no one sang to me.
Well, let me ask
you. But she was going to hang the maintenance dude out to dry. That is not cool.
She was. She totally did.
You could have gotten the guy fired.
Do you still work with this person? Or?
Oh, my God. We can't get rid of her. She's like a bad penny.
God almighty. And honestly, you're right to
yeah.
Because let's you go to that end result. Okay, you've now determined that someone's thrown out your shrimp or tried to guilt you and say that a birthday cake was thrown out. And right, Preston, throw the maintenance guy under the bus.
Yeah.
But now they're still working there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What's the mindset now?
Apparently, employee theft is not frowned upon so much.
Wow. Especially when you're stealing your own stuff.
Seriously.
All right. I know. Thanks. All right.
Let me go to an anonymous caller who is on the air. Hi, you're on the air, anonymous caller. Who? What's your story?
Hey, how you doing? I'm a volunteer fireman, and a bunch of us guys would be sitting up at our firehouse on the weekends, and we'd order lunch out from our local restaurants, and we'd eat, and whatever we didn't have finished, we'd stick in the fridge and go on Sunday, have it there. We'd go up on Sunday, and stuff would be missing, the food, and it was going on for weeks and weeks and weeks at a time, so finally we decided, all right, we're going to handle this our way. One of the guys that ended up ordering a tuna hoagie, and we took half of it and stuck Gojo in it, which is a mechanic soap that they use.
You're going to poison that guy.
It's not really poison.
Yeah. It's like the scene in Dumb and Dumber, right?
Make them a little ill, not like poison them.
Right, no. Maybe some long-lasting, lifelong injuries, but otherwise nothing.
Anytime you have to qualify a statement with, it's not really poison, you might be in the wrong.
Yeah, so we stuck it in there on Saturday, and that Sunday when we came back up there to have our lunch, somebody ate it.
Because he was dead on the floor.
Yeah, no, see, what you can do is you can, like, maybe cut your pubes and put your pubes in the hoagie. Ha-ha. We had a situation in college where we would always steal beer and stuff out of out of the fridge of our fraternity brothers.
Oh, this is a good way to handle it.
Well, so they took bottles of Boone's Farms and they peed in them.
Yeah,
like it was not even like half Boone's, half pee. It was straight up piss.
Yeah,
three bottles of
piss. This tastes like piss. It's like an old friend.
We stole them and brought them back to our dorm.
Were you guzzling?
It was an SNL skit where first dude takes a sip and he goes, I don't
does something taste wrong?
He's like, this doesn't taste like Boone's Farms. And the other dude's like, here, let me try. Three different guys drank piss. And then they showed up in their room and they were like, yo, don't drink that.
The guys who pissed in and said, don't drink that?
They were like, dude.
What did they think was going to happen?
So my one friend went and yacked in the bathroom, and then the other guy wanted to fight them. I was like, you stole their piss.
Yes.
You stole it. Like, you get what you deserve.
Yep. No,
oh,
you're
my
right.
God.
You are absolutely right.
That's so. Case, would you say decent full mouth gulps?
Enough.
Yeah, enough.
Enough. I mean,
wow.
Probably the first sip was probably the most.
Okay. Yeah.
Second sip the least amount. And then I was the fourth one. I didn't even
touch
it.
You tapped out.
I tapped
out. Lucky you, man.
I don't think I want to try that.
Jesus.
And as soon as you found out, did you die laughing?
Oh, it was the best. It was the best. The boys of 103, they won.
Do you guys want to talk to a fridge thief?
Please.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It just says the letter C.
Will it be processed?
I began years ago.
hi. You're on the air, thief.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's not a thief. I go by the one-day rule. The four-hour rule. You know what I mean? I mean, I've been known to absolutely indulge on other people's lunches. Yeah. I mean, I'll pick apart. You know what I mean? At least I'm honest to my coworkers. You know what I mean? They'll say I think a little bit light, but... Yeah, I'm definitely it.
So how long? Just a quick question. So, how long before you see something appear in the fridge will you take go after it?
We're breaking up really bad there, Preston.
It's a Steve. That's how bad we're breaking up.
Yeah.
Thief.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, by the way, we need to look this up because you said the one-day rule. I don't think that rule exists. I don't think there is a such thing as a one-day rule in the office.
No, there is absolutely a one-day rule. Absolutely. Because a lot of people just leave their lunch in there and they figure, oh, we'll get more lunch tomorrow. So, I mean, it's still good to me. I'll eat it. You know what I mean?
What if they just forgot it? And now that they're thinking, because sometimes I'll forget my stuff here, so I think, okay, I don't need to bring more stuff tomorrow because it's still there.
Yeah, I think
thank
if
you,
some,
if, absolutely,
thank you.
you're sticking up for him. You should be this guy's lawyer.
No, I'm not sticking up for him.
Yeah,
I'm saying don't eat it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not all the time. But absolutely, I've definitely been known to indulge.
And have you ever been called out on it?
Sure, quite a few times.
And you don't care?
No, not at all. I'll replace it. I mean, it's not that deep.
Replace it with what? You
know what I mean? Piss.
Yeah,
you won't replace it, you liar.
Yeah, you will not replace it.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. That Chinese food, I replaced it.
Absolutely. No, we'll go to Wawa.
Yeah, I went to Wawa.
Yeah,
I got you some Chinese food from Wawa.
Cheese and grapes.
I replaced it. Yeah.
Here's some saltines.
All right.
Stop are you just doing like that. Randomly replacing food? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know,
are you going, hey, Nick, here, I put a hoagie in there for you? Or are you just throwing a hoagie in the fridge?
Hey, I ate some of your lunch. I put a ruler in the fridge.
Because nobody else eats food out of the fridge, so who are you replacing it for?
I was just being honest.
Hey, get off my back here. Just being honest.
I love this guy.
All right. Good luck to you, man. You will not live long.
No, you won't.
Doing that. Let me see here. I'm going to go. There's a lot of sabotage that goes on. I'm going to go to Vince. Hey, Vince, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
I got to start by saying this is not my story. It's a story I've heard, but okay. The story is that this guy kept getting his lunch stolen from where he worked. It was like a factory.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to the boss one day and complained about it. The boss just kind of blew him off. He got on the microphone and said, whoever's stealing Bob's food, cut it out. Just, you know, didn't really, you know, care about it. So he finally wound up sabotaging his own lunch. He put like a bunch of hot sauce and jalapenos, whatever.
Yeah.
And just sat back and waited to see, you know, who it was. And this guy, you know, jumps up, you know, with his mouth on fire, and it's the boss's son.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And the next thing that happened was the guy who's getting his lunch stolen gets called to the office and fired for making the boss's son look like a fool.
What? Yeah, I don't know about that, Vince. I mean, did you hear that firsthand? Or, I mean, for somebody who saw that happen?
Well, no, I mean, I actually heard this on a radio program where the guy was talking about wrongful termination, and this is what came up, and the guy's advice was, you need to be talking to a lawyer.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that would be a bad PR move for the boss to fire someone who because his property was stolen by his own son.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Johnny next. Johnny.
Hey, how you doing? You guys rock.
Thanks, buddy. What's up, man?
Hey, I've been working for my company for a few years now. And for the past couple of times, like three times, somebody stole my lunch. So the one day I went to my boss. My boss kind of, the last guy said, blew it off. Like, we don't know who it is. There's nothing we can do about it. So I'm like, all right, cool, no problem. So I went home, sat down, I thought, like, you know what, I'm tired of this happening, and I decided to put laxative in a hoagie. So I sat there, took the hoagie apart in my car, put laxative on the bottom of it, put it back together, wrapped it up, put it in the refrigerator. So after lunchtime came around, we all go up there, I go inside the bathroom, there's a guy in there. So my boss, I go tell my boss, look, this is the guy that's doing it. Like, come on now, he's stealing everybody's lunches. So my boss went in there, talked to him. He admitted it, so my boss fired him.
That's it. You can't say
that's
that.
That's
twice. Damn, I'm going to let you go.
Man, he's just in his pants all over the place. Yeah, he's rivers of ass pouring down his pants, legs. The guy's just asking himself. I would say, if you want to take revenge, try to stay from something away from something that could potentially be lethal, like poisoning someone. Yeah.
You know, that the laxative thing is an issue. I wonder if they actually do sell, with all of this, and we know how prevalent this problem is, a faux, like, yogurt cup that you can put in the fridge that's actually a camera.
I don't know.
Probably.
That's a good question. And I wonder about that last caller. So he said his lunch got sold, like, three times or something along those lines. That sounds like somebody's targeting you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, they are specifically stealing your lunch.
Or they just like what you make.
Or they like, exactly. Yeah, you regularly get what they love.
We really jibe in what we like.
Let me go to, I got time for another call, and it is Will who is on the line. Hey, Will, how you doing?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So I just had a story. I worked for a major financial services company in the area a few years back. You know, like a couple hundred people on the floor of this office with, you know, cubicles and everything.
Yeah.
And there was a rash of lunches getting stolen and a lot of people complaining. So HR actually had the security team drill a hole in the ceiling and put like a stealth camera in through the drop ceiling.
Yeah,
and they totally caught this guy. He was like a manager, and he got fired for this. Like basically, probably had to go home and explain to his wife, like, oh, you know what happened? He's like, well, you know, I was really hungry. I guess I don't know.
But Will, could you estimate how many lunches this dude stole?
It must have gone, you know, just from like the notes that I saw in like the kitchen over the weeks. It was probably like at least like a couple months. This was going on, you know, and people complained enough where they finally like actually drilled a hole in the ceiling and put in like a little camera, like I don't know, like Mission Impossible style.
Yeah, speaking of the cameras in the kitchen, I'm going to find out. Maybe Rodney can let us know.
Yes.
Listen, we're bros. Let us know where that second camera is, if there is one, or is it just the rumor of the camera enough to keep people?
Yeah,
it might be
in line.
I don't know. We don't have much of an issue there, and in fact, you can just go in and we have a kitchen table, and food will be left out, and people have at it.
And there's nobody on this floor now, or at least here, because they're doing some reconstruction. So yeah, it'll just be us.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, listen, if you want an entertaining read, it's on Twitter. This guy's name is Zach Toscani, and it was a play-by-play event that took place over the weekend where he was a guy at work, had his lunch stolen, and they had a security tape, and they were going to let him go watch it, and it turns out it was the girl who sat next to him that did it, and it all played out in this drama.
Yeah, we put it up on our Twitter account as well,
nice.
So you can follow the feed there.
All right, you know what we need to do? We need to do this.
MMR's birthday box.
WMMR Philadelphia is very happy to have an opportunity for you to win $1,000 in cash. It is so easy to do with our birthday bucks, and this is in celebration of 50 years on the air. I'm going to give you a word. You're going to text that word to a very specific company-wide short code number. You have about 15 minutes to do so. And then we will choose a random winner, and that winner will get $1,000. So here is the word, a random word being chosen, and it is married, M-A-R-R-I-E-D. Text that word to 40772 right now. Like I said, you have about 15 minutes to do it.
Maddie?
So text the word married, M-A-R-R-I-E-D, to the number 40772. And we will find out if you win within the next few minutes.
Maddie.
And it's from A&T Chevy in Sellersville. Good luck to you, my friend. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in just a moment. Stay with us.
WMMR and A&T Chevy present MMR's Birthday Bucks. It's our birthday and your chance to get the gifts. We're not talking a 5-spot and a card from grandma. Oh, no. This is your shot to win $1,000 cash 5 times a day. Tune in at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. You'll hear that hour's keyword and simply text it to the special contest text number 40772. One random texter wins $1,000. MMR's birthday bucks 5 times a day at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 6 p.m. Sponsored by A&T Chevy in Sellersville, where Chevys really do cost less. Complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com.
Thanks, Kath. Hey, I want to mention something real quick. A butt plug, if you will. It's a charity event. I got this a while back. It was like 2 months ago, but it was way too far in advance of the event. So I wanted to mention this now. I got it from Ava Robinson. She wrote to me and said, hey, I'm the intake coordinator and child abuse specialist for Victim Services Center of Montgomery County. It's a nonprofit organization. serves all victims of crime in Montgomery County. This includes survivors of homicide, victims of robbery, burglary, identity theft, child abuse, as well as all sex crimes. The only crime that we do not specialize in is domestic violence, since there are other fantastic area agencies who specialize in that. We provide free and confidential services like counseling and legal advocacy to victims and their significant others. A request of a butt plug for one of our most important annual community events, please. So April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And on Saturday, April 14th, we'll be holding our 7th annual 5K walk run for SAM, S-A-M-M, which stands for Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And it's going to be at Norristown Farm Park, which is a beautiful place.
Yes.
At 8 a.m. And like I said, that is going to be on Saturday, April 14th. She said it is crucial that members of the community know that there are free services available to help them through such horrific events. So if you've been a victim of some kind of crime, these guys want to help you out. Montgomery County is an enormous county in Pennsylvania, and we hope to alert and engage as many members of our community as possible. So I just wanted to mention that for Ava and give a plug, if you will, please. Thank you very much.
And can I mention something? I'm actually doing a guest bartending on Thursday at this little place. It's a great bar. It's called Guppies. It's okay. In Conshohocken. Have you guys ever heard of it?
Yeah, yeah. You give tons of free plugs.
So I'll be there on Thursday from 6:30 to 8:30. I do this every year. The month of April on Thursday nights is dedicated to a little girl named Janie Carbo. Janie was born with a rare genetic disorder that left her blind, and a lot of her surgery, so she has to have glass eyes put in, and as she grows, she has to get new ones, and for whatever reason, that's considered cosmetic for her, so her family has to dish out all this money every time she needs to get a new surgery.
A lot of expenditures involved with her. How is she doing overall?
She's great.
She's doing great?
Yeah, right. She is. She's getting very big. I mean, I met her, I think, when she was like 3 or 4 years old. So she's in school. Her family says that she's doing great, but again, she does need these surgeries. And Robin, who owns Guppies, and I know you guys do give me a hard time because I always do go there.
Yes.
But he's a great guy. And every April, like I said, he donates it to Janie, and all of the tips, the bartenders donate their tips to Janie, and then a portion of the proceeds from food go to her as well. So I'll be there Thursday night, this Thursday, from 6:30 to 8:30. I'll be guest bartending. So if you're in the area, come by.
Didn't their ad campaign say, and you never know, you might see Kathy Romano of the Preston and Steve show there?
And look, I'm going to be there.
She's going to be
there. They don't lie.
Oh, my God. All right, cool. Good to know. Let's do the B5.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, let's get right into it. I have a few stories. We'll begin with this one. A 13-year-old boy went missing after falling into a Los Angeles drainage system, has miraculously been found alive. Officials said Jesse Hernandez had been found in a pipe about a mile east of where he first went missing on Easter Sunday.
I'll get you out.
Fire Department Captain Eric Scott said a sanitation crew found Hernandez after opening a maintenance hatch near where the 134 freeway goes under the 5 freeway. They put a camera down the hatch, and that's where, he said, we located Jesse Hernandez alive and talking.
The odds against that are astonishing.
After being rescued from the pipe, Hernandez was given a phone call to his parents, who were overwhelmed with joy. The boy plunged 25 feet into the network of sewers.
Man.
Hernandez was given a medical aid at the scene and then taken to the hospital for evaluation. It's unclear if he was seriously injured. Scott says Hernandez survived because he found a pocket of air in the pipe. He said you can stand in that area, talking about the pipe where he was found. He said there's a place as to where air is able to come through. Hernandez had jumped the chain link fence and was playing in an abandoned maintenance shed when he fell into the drainage system through a 4-foot-wide pipe, sparking a 12-hour manhunt. More than 100 emergency personnel were scrambled to numerous potential catch points. That sewage system that Hernandez fell into moves sewage at about 15 miles per hour. That's booking as far as water goes.
There's no reason he should be alive. It's miraculous.
By the way, officials had attached cameras to flotation devices, sending them down tunnels 300 feet ahead of rescue personnel. So they were actually, it was similar to like a boogie board with a camera on it.
Do you know what they saw down there? A whole bunch of stolen lunches.
Oh, my God. That's where people put them. Because eating Tide Pods and butt-chugging just weren't enough to satisfy those thrill-seeking teens, a dangerous trend is re-emerging among high schoolers and sending parents into a frenzy. It's called condom snorting.
Oh, this you've seen the videos?
Mm-hmm.
It's
It's crazy.
Educators in San Antonio are now holding informative classes on the latest unnerving trend. The team of specialists is traveling to different school districts to teach parents how to discourage snorting condoms, even if it could result in internet fame. The condom snorting challenge is as nuanced as it sounds. A person takes an unwrapped condom, inhales it through one nostril. The challenge is complete after that person can remove the condom through their mouth.
This isn't a challenge. This is stupid.
It's staggeringly stupid. But we've got to try it.
In 2013, Savannah Strong became one of the first YouTube stars to try it and go viral. Since then, several people have recorded themselves performing the challenge and proceeded to share the videos online.
Couldn't you choke to death?
Yeah, you can choke to death. You have to be very, very
careful. Why don't they put that on condoms that they can make you choke to death?
You guys ever been scoped through the nose?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hurts.
It hurts.
You
gag.
Hurts a lot.
I've had it done a number of times because I have the achalasia, so it's a throat situation. When they stick that sucker in, it's the worst.
I can't stand it. So some people are doing it for fun with rubbers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This says paddle boarders, but I think it means paddle boaters in Washington, D.C. I don't think there's much paddle boarding going on this time of year right now. But I think it's paddle boaters. And Washington, D.C. discovered the body of a man who fell into the tidal basin on Saturday as thousands descended on the Capitol for the annual Cherry Blossom Festival.
Yay!
And they found
this
a floater.
This is wonderful. Oh, look, there's a floating dead body.
Authorities
pulled
the man's body out of the water near the paddle boat area of the basin.
It's so beautiful here.
No information about the man's identity has been released.
Look, he's all bloated. He looks like the Michelin Man.
The gruesome discovery put a damper on the holiday weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Police received a call.
It was great until we discovered the dead body.
Shortly after 2 p.m. on Saturday, about a body seen floating in the water. The gruesome discovery put a damper on the weekend, as I said. As they do every year, thousands flocked to the nation's capital at the start of springtime to watch cherry blossoms reach peak bloom.
Estelle, tell her what happened. Well, we're on the river, you see, and then we're looking at the blossoms, and then this big rotting corpse floated past us. Ruined the whole day.
The unseasonably cold weather in March delayed the peak bloom period when the Yoshino cherry trees that surround the tidal basin sprout to create a colorful, picturesque setting.
We are still a ways away from the floater situation, right, in the river, usually in the beginning months of...
Should be around now.
It's the warmer weather.
Yeah.
They start coming up to the top, so we'll
see. Dead bodies in the river float to the top.
A British man has been arrested after ordering the most expensive food and wine at some of Washington, D.C.'s most fanciest hotels, then walking out without paying the bill.
Dine and dash?
Listen to this, though, but he did it over the top. Nick Cooper, who was 21, was caught after going on a month spree of the U.S. Capitol's most luxurious dinner spots. According to police documents, he reportedly ordered a $1,200 glass of 34-year-old Teeling Irish Single Malt Whiskey.
Wow.
Which is normally kept under combination lock in the vault. And the 21-year-old has already been arrested 6 times in the last month. The first time by the Secret Service near the White House on March 9th for refusing to move on the street while he was drunk. He then was arrested again for failing to obey police after he tried to escape from them. On March 13th, he stopped by the renowned Willard Intercontinental Hotel and allegedly spent $68 at the bar using a fake name. Fellow drinkers reported seeing Cooper brag about a $1,200 shot of whiskey that he was drinking at the Hay Adams Hotel. He was arrested later that week for damaging a glass door at the Embassy Row Hotel for trying to resist officers. A few days later, he was arrested for the theft and resisting arrest after dining at the Ritz-Carlton. Cooper reportedly used a fake name again to order a grilled octopus and rack of lamb.
Jeez.
As well as a $156 bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon and a $100 bottle of Moët Imperial. While at the Hay Adams Hotel, opposite of the White House, fellow drinkers reported seeing him brag about a $1,200 shot of whiskey that he was drinking as well. So this guy is going around, he is ordering the most top-shelf stuff that you can get.
How old is he?
And then he's 21.
He looks like he's 14.
Yeah, he does.
So he was drinking, and also he was bragging about a 3-week birthday trip that he took to Las Vegas in February, but he was scamming people all over the place.
He's a more felonious Ferris Bueller.
And they busted him 6 times, and there you go. That is what I have for you in the B-file for now. All right, I'm giving word that we are going to take a break, come back in a second. Dr. J, Julius Erving, is going to be getting in touch with us. They have a statue that they're going to reveal of him today, which is pretty cool. And we also have Meredith Baxter and Michael Gross. You know them from Family Ties. They're in town to play the Bucks County Playhouse. We'll get them in the studio and more. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
Thank you so much, Kathy. Our next guest is being honored today with a statue of his likeness at the practice facility for the Philadelphia 76ers.
It's got to be cool.
It's one of the highest honors you can get, really. I think it's a statue at a place that people are going to continue to visit for many, many, many years, and it's awesome. So I can't do. I will do my best to give an intro, but I have to do a much better one, which is this.
University of Massachusetts, number 6.
That is correct, gang. Please welcome to the show Dr. J. Julius Erving. Yeah. This morning. Morning, Dr. J.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great. Congratulations, by the way.
Great day.
How long have you known about this? Did they throw this at you a couple of years ago and say, we're going to do this for you, or did you find out sooner than that?
No, it's just been in the last couple of months.
So oh, really?
Put it on the calendar in the last couple of months. You know, I do come up and I attend about six or eight games a year. So we're just trying to tie it into a game night or a game week.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was great to be in Philadelphia yesterday and last night because of Villanova's success. And you know, my team and I and my wife, we just posted up and watched the game and smoked on a cigar.
You and your wife sharing cigars, huh?
Yeah, we felt like Red Owl back, you know, back in the day. I mean, lighting up the victory cigar. Pretty cool.
Well, I have to ask a couple of questions, and you know, obviously concerning that wonderful victory last night. But I've always wondered, when someone gets a statue in their likeness, does the protocol suggest that they run some poses by you or some pictures? Do you have any input, or do you get what you get?
There was no input in this sculpture.
Okay.
Hopefully there's enough references to my face and my likeness around in this area that they hopefully they can get it right. It's going to be up to the missus to critique it. I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy the moment just like you guys.
Well, it's a big honor. We've all seen statues that just sort of miss the mark a little bit. I have a feeling they'll get you right. You're too important to screw up. But concerning the win last night, it had, you know, obviously you have a storied career, but do you still get that same sort of elation and, you know, that chemical change when you see a win like that and that zeal?
Well, the fact that, you know, I mean, I lived here for 20 years and I actually lived in Villanova. So, plenty of play golf with Rolly Massimino and Jim Gray and Coach Daly. You know, we used to get out a few times a year as a foursome. I've gotten to know Jim Wright over the recent years. And, you know, done Rolly's basketball camp and just have a connection with Villanova. So,
yeah.
Just watching them 2 years ago and then watching this year, doing it in a record-breaking fashion. They took some ownership of that, just saying that, hey, you know, like, this is my team. When you revel in those moments and you see that the class displayed by the players when they're interviewed afterwards, how they're so selfless and they're giving, you know, the props to the other guys and to the organization, to, you know, the school, the community, to Philadelphia. It was so representative in such a special way that you felt a sense of pride. And that's really what I felt last night, a sense of pride. It's just a knowing.
Yeah, that's really cool. And for me, as a fan, it's fun to watch somebody like Charles Barkley, who obviously played with you likes doing the play-by-play and the color for, or not the play-by-play, but the color for the NBA games, to enjoy the college game as much. Do you have a preference when watching basketball, college or the pros?
Oh, I clearly like watching the pros. And, you know, my philosophy there is, in college, they make easy things look hard. Pros make hard things look easy. So from top to bottom, you know, when you're watching a college game, I mean, there is a greater dependency on one another, whereas, you know, the NBA and the global game, you know, it's motivated and directed by the stars. The stars carry the load. And now when you watch this game, and, you know, there's three or four stars on the court on both teams, but, you know, the sixth man, you know, who's usually the guy who comes off the bench just to give him a spark, becomes the dominant force. So just watching Dante's game last night, and played the game of his life. And it almost looked like, you know, Bill Walton when he was playing Memphis that year, and he shoots 21 out of 22 and scores 40 points when he's averaging like 20 points. And it's just a game for the ages.
So the Sixers have been on a roll recently, and they you know, there was a long period where the call went out to the fan base to say, if you just bear with us, we're gonna work on this and take it down to its foundation. And what are your perceptions as the team really starts to come into its own and the protracted process it's been to get where it is now?
Yeah. Well, it goes back. You look at the ownership change, and you look at, Iguodala, and, you know, being the face of the franchise. You look at Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
Being the potential face of the franchise. And you look at, you know, Lou, and the kid from Kentucky, and, you know, Okafor. I mean, you look at the guys who were drafted and was thought to be potentially a part of the future of the franchise. And as it turns out, I mean, none of them are here. and they were all part of a process to get, you know, the team organized. And it took some dismantling to do it. And the team was actually, you know, they played a series against Boston, which I think was the conference semifinals 7 or 8 years ago. And it's just like, okay, you're a series away from the finals. But for whatever reason, you know, that wasn't good enough. That was not the place to be, because you could stay there for years. And as it turned out, it was going out of the playoffs, back into the lottery, and, you know, coming through this whole process. And now, you know, being fighting for third seed in the Eastern Conference, that's no small feat.
No.
And it didn't happen by luck. And, you know, pop and circumstance aside, there's been a lot of effort put into it, and the fans have been great and patient, and the media's been patient. And now you're getting to see the dividends.
Yeah. Hey, I think, you know, a lot of people like to look at today's players and compare them to players in years past. And there's a big comparison between LeBron and Michael Jordan and who was better. And I just think that the product of the NBA basketball, it really hasn't evolved or changed all that much. How do you think Dr. J in his prime would be able to compete in today's NBA?
Who's that?
He was a good player for the Sixers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, you know, my career was kind of broken up in three phases. You know, there was the ABA phase, in which I was second to none. And then there was the adjustment phase in Philadelphia, which we were trying to figure it out. And then there were the glory years, you know, getting over the hump. And then, you know, riding out the rest of the career. And if, you know, we were a playoff team, but we weren't really a championship caliber team. So I think there's a 7-year window in there, which we played for an NBA title four different times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the second three times and the first once, which is no record, nothing to be ashamed of. If not, you know, nothing, no shame in being the leader of that team. But I think the essence of my game has has had an impact on players for generations to come.
Sure.
And the fact that, you know, in that 76 slam dunk contest, you know, it's the first one, and, you know, I was the first winner. The fact, you know, my game was above the rim, and, you know, fans came from near and far. You know, we used to sell out on the road because, you know, people wanted to see the show. And, you know, I think I was the main attraction.
Yeah.
In a way where it wasn't really about the marketing. It really wasn't about, you know, the money and compensation, you know, for being played. It wasn't about play for pay. It was like, you know, play for the love of the game, play for, you know, status, play to challenge those guys who had come before, the Connie Hawkins of the world, the Elgin Baylors of the world, and, you know, live up to, you know, the hype associated with my role models and my mentors, you know, who said, okay, we did it first, and, you know, you have to top us. So when you had, you know, Jordan come, and, you know, LeBron and Kobe, and, you know, these guys, they, you know, they had that mindset of, okay, I want to top the guys who were here before me. You know, Doc was my hero, so, you know, I want to be better than him. And have that tucked into the equation, the drive players to do great things and even greater things than what they saw before.
Well, speaking of role models, Dr. J, there was a video that surfaced recently where Chase Utley signed an autograph for a kid when he was with the Phillies. He was at the ballpark in Philly, and that kid grew up to be a pitcher in the Dodgers organization. The kid had cancer at the time, and Chase made a real positive impact on this young boy, and I just wanted to thank you for making a positive impact on me. When I was 9 years old, I met you at the airport in Los Angeles. You were going out to the Olympics with your family, and you came over and you shook my hand. And it's, you know, I know that it was a blip in time for you, but it was a memory for me that will last a lifetime. So thank you for being a role model. And thank you
Nick
for being
now plays in the NBA.
Yes. No, what I'm saying is that people of your stature.
Yeah. It's a no basketball ability.
Oh, NBA.
Yeah. Don't take it for granted. You know, little things, big or small, just don't take it for granted.
And, yeah.
You know, I know I had my feelings hurt waiting for some New York Knickerbockers to come out of the locker room, and they walked by me and a bunch of kids. So I said, I'm not going to do that to anybody.
No, that's a good rule to follow.
I don't want to be that guy.
Wow. Well, listen, it's a great honor, and the ceremony, the sculpture unveiling is going to be around 2:15 this afternoon, and all fans that are going to be there get a Dr. J inspired Mitchell and Ness T-shirt. Which is, I think you got to get first dibs on it. But so if people show up and they want to get the freebie, which is pretty cool too. And another quick thing, Dr. J, before we let you go, and I know you got a full day ahead of you, but you started a podcast now called House Call with Dr. J. Tell us just a little bit about that.
That is correct. You know, with Revolver, we've been, we're about 9 or 10 weeks into it right now. And we've had some good people. We had Stedman Graham on.
Mm-hmm.
We had Mark Cuban on, and unfortunately, it led to him being fined.
Yeah. So what you're saying is avoid your podcast at all costs.
Except to listen to.
Yeah.
I didn't lead him into that. he just kept going.
That's Mark Cuban for you.
But we have some good people. We got a good lineup. Some of my friends down in Atlanta going to be a part of it, Dominique and Charles Barkley, and trying to get Jane Fonda in there, just for the local flavor. We did the first 9 interviews out in L.A., so as I move around through Philadelphia and Vegas and other places for different reasons, I'm going to just try and have the podcast piggyback and round up some people who would be interesting to talk to, and it's been a good experience for me.
Is Charles in town? You're going to talk to him today?
I probably won't talk to him until we get down to Atlanta.
Okay.
Down to Atlanta. But we got, you know, our list is like who's who. We got a very special list of people who are relevant today. And if they're not relevant today, we'll make them relevant today.
Make them relevant. Get them fired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice.
All right. Well, congratulations, Dr. J, and enjoy your day today, and I'm sure we'll see you again sometime very soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You got it, man. Enjoy Julius too. Irving, guys.
All good.
Okay. Nice guy.
The absolute legend. Man, you get a statue. in your own likeness.
I hope it does him justice.
Listen, some of the statues they have around the Wells Fargo Center are awesome. There's one, and I don't know because I don't.
Jervis?
No. I'm saying I don't know who it is, but it might be him. It might be Dr. J. But it's like it's hard to explain. It's like it's a part of them in motion.
Yeah. Oh yes.
Like they're appearing out of thin air. You know what I mean?
Is it on the link side yes. by 95? That's Dr. Yes. J.
Is it Dr.
Yeah,
J?
Well, that's well done.
It's supposed to depict him flying through the air on the way to the dunk. Yeah, and they did a great job with it.
Yeah. So they can, and that one. Some of them they do in a real likeness, and it looks fantastic.
What's the worst you've ever seen? The one that comes to mind for me is the picture of that Lucille Ball statue.
Oh, my God. That was terrible.
That one was bad. Yep. There's one of Fonzie,
which looks like Lucille Ball.
Really, really bad. So sometimes they mess it up pretty in a pretty nasty way. But I think they're going to do Dr. J just right, which is cool. So, like I said, yeah, Casey just handed me this. You can get a free T-shirt today, Case.
Yeah, I assume as long as supplies last, but it says anybody who shows up for the ceremony.
It's at the Sixers training complex, and I'll be around 2:15 or so. All right, you know, we're going to have a couple more guests by in a little bit. Should we take a break now?
Well,
or what do you think?
So, traffic is kind of holding them up. They're going to probably be here in about 20 minutes. So,
20 minutes. All right, so I got some time to kill.
Yeah, man.
Kill that time.
I can clean out the junk drawer a little bit if you want to do that.
I'm not ready.
I do have I know you're not.
Now
I just,
I'm ready.
Made up a.
Cold and audible, as they say in basketball.
To do that.
It's baseball.
All right, this is one that I saw that I thought you got. Well, it speaks to me.
All right.
Because you guys, you know that I have this dream that someday I want in my home to create what I call the bedroom.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Meaning the entire room is all the way from wall to wall just a mattress.
Which I think is a great, you know, it reminds me of the, you know, the movie Help. You know,
yes.
I believe it was John's bed was a sunken bed in the floor, and so
yes.
his bedroom was a bed.
Yep, exactly. Well, now you can get a mattress size for the whole family. A Los Angeles-based designer has launched the Ace Collection, a series of beds with larger-than-life sizes, including one that's meant to group the parents and kids together for some quality family time. The Ace Family Size Mattress measures 144 inches wide by 80 inches long. That's 12 feet wide.
We're looking at a picture. Is this it in the studio?
Well, that's like a couch.
I don't think that's it.
Well, but that is actually pretty awesome.
That looks cool, but the only thing that I'm thinking of is you're not going to be able to get sheets, and also then people are walking on your bed.
Well,
guys?
No, people don't walk on your bed. This would be...
You just like dive in from the door?
It wouldn't be all the way on the floor. It'd be bed height, you know, so it'd come up to... Just
no, I
wasn't
waist. Seeing that.
So you'd have to have a walkway around it.
I was seeing you walk into the room and the floor is your mattress.
No, that's not it at all. Not what I have in mind.
Okay.
It's the regular height.
You've had two dreams, that and a monkey.
Of a bed. If you're going to do any moving around the room, you got to crawl.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So there's no
take
walking.
Take your shoes off
you gotta
in the other
take your
room.
Shoes off before you go
okay.
in. And you have a rail that's around the room. So
for
that
ballet.
Can be a shelf.
For ballet, yeah.
All right. Not a rail, a shelf. Anyway.
Let me ask you, Chris. You and Steve, you guys sleep in your own beds.
Yeah. Yes, we were sleeping together for a while, but it seemed awkward.
No. So your wives sleep in separate beds.
Yes.
At least during the week they do.
You saw my bed.
I did. Do you guys sleep in the middle of your bed?
No.
Okay.
No.
Right?
No.
Isn't that weird?
But I do sleep. I favor the one side of the bed, but I sleep pretty much spread eagle. I'm all over the place. And
you're a Christ figure when you sleep.
The sheets and the blanket and all this stuff are just tattered by the time I'm done.
I slept last night with my leg off the bed on the floor because I had so many animals in the freaking bed.
So anyhow, 12 feet wide or double the width of a California king size mattress is
here
how
it
big
is.
This is. That's it. That's the one. Yes.
Okay. So that looks good for big families. Kathy, could you deal with that? People aren't walking on the bed when they come into the room.
Yeah. I mean, a large bed would be great, but yeah, I'm not into the shoes in the room.
So designer.
You're not into the shoes in the room.
Anna Korovich.
I'm telling you, that's all I was thinking of when he was talking about
it. You need to have like
shoes in the room.
Like, you don't even want shoes in a room.
And they can go in your closet.
And that's when she brought your shoes into the room.
Oh, my God.
Your shoes go in the closet in your room after you take them off.
My shoes.
Don't leave your jacket on the stairs.
Oh, my God. Your son?
No, Dennis.
Dennis.
Chase.
You should see, like, my kids, when they come in from school, It's like shoes here, jackets on the floor, like this, the school bag over here. It's ridiculous.
I got to tell you something. My pretend children are little angels.
Yeah.
Always put their stuff away.
Designer Anna Pekarovich says that clients have asked her in the past about about extra large mattresses to, for example, accommodate a whole family for movie night. She says the only options were expensive custom orders, so she set out to design her own line of extra large mattresses.
How much does it go for?
I'll get to that at the end here. So the company also offers two other unusual mattress sizes. Those include the Ace size, which is 108 inches wide by 80 inches long, and there's also a player mattress aimed at athletes and taller people like Dr. J.
Yeah.
That's 108 inches long by 80 inches wide, basically a rotated version of the Ace size.
So the first bed that Claire and I bought together was a California King, which is a huge bed.
Yeah, it's a little bit larger.
That's the one she currently sleeps on, and I sleep on my sleep number bed. But, you know, to have that extra room is nice, well, certainly, especially if you roll around a lot.
Having a king-size bed was a revelation. So when we moved into our new home, we got the king-size bed. Because, I mean, especially at that time, we'd wake up on a Saturday morning and every single buddy would be in our bed. And
okay.
And my dog.
So the Ace family size mattress sells for a base price of $3,000. And shipping and installation on the West Coast can cost up to $500, with other parts of the country ranging up to $1,250. So you could be spending like $4,500 on a mattress, somewhere in that range.
If you've got a big family and a room that can accommodate it, and you do all sorts of wonderful activities in bed together with everyone, then I guess it's something you go for. But this is what you were thinking of when you said a bedroom?
Yeah. But one that fills out
way off base.
An entire room. But yeah, not on the floor.
See, my plans for a bathroom were one that you actually wade into and go to the bathroom and then get out and towel off.
That'd be kind of cool.
I know we've talked about this before, but the dorm beds that are the thinnest mattresses on the planet are also the narrowest mattresses on the planet. And if you are dating somebody at the time or just sleeping with somebody else, I don't know how anybody actually ever got any sleep.
Yep.
Yeah, making the beast of two backs on that, on those beds.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah,
was
although my senior year I had no roommate, and I had a gigantic room, and what I ended up doing, we called it the playpen, and it was, I just took the two mattresses from the beds, I got rid of the beds altogether, and I put them in the corner of the room, and I boarded them with my desk and my bureaus, my dressers, and it was like a little wrestling match, a little wrestling ring.
And I have a little wrestling ring right here.
Did you have a girlfriend at the time?
Yes.
Okay.
And then somebody else as well.
All right, so you may do. Okay, I got you. All right, this is now available. If you're interested, you can get that giant desk. Let me go back in here and find something. Let's see here. It turns out Netflix is looking to pay people for something you might already be doing, and that's binge-watching shows.
They're going to pay you to do this. How are they going to do that?
The streaming giant announced that it is looking for people to fill editorial analysis jobs that include watching, rating, and categorizing original and imported programming.
Okay, so stuff that they're going to sort of throw up, they want to curate it a little bit?
I guess so.
Have you ever rated a show on Netflix?
I did for a little while, and then I stopped doing it.
I don't.
How do you do that?
I used to, and likewise, I don't anymore. I don't really pay attention to the ratings anymore, the viewer ratings. If it's something I want to watch, I watch it.
It gives you an option at the end, Case. So, like, especially if you finished a series, they'll say, what did you think of this series? And it's 1 star to 5. And it's pretty, like, the automatic default is 5 stars.
Right.
And then you can take it down if you want.
Well, I, just because there's so much out there, I don't have enough patience to, like, if the show doesn't catch me, and I would even say, maybe I'll make it through the first episode. But if you don't get me in the first half hour, I'm like, nope.
There's such a tremendous amount of content available.
Yep.
You got to wow me out of the gate. You feel like an old-time Hollywood agent.
Yeah.
What do you got, kid?
I started watching that Requiem show. I don't know if you still
What do you think of it?
I stopped.
Yeah.
I stopped right in the middle of it. I was like, nope, you know.
You're a loose cannon.
Yeah. You know what? I've never been into to rating things, no matter what, customer satisfaction, anything like that. I've never done it. But what I have found myself doing, though, recently is with the Waze app, is I like to be one of the reporters.
You have become addicted to this. I can tell the first time you mentioned this, I thought, something's up here.
I don't need it on the way home.
You need it.
But I put it on, and I'll, you know, I was like, yep, hazard, car, side of the road, boom. Mm-hmm. Pothole, and bang, boom, hit that.
That must be the best poster ever. Now, they give you a recognition for that, don't you? Don't they rate you?
You earn points.
And what do you get at the end? If say you dominate with points, what do you get?
Absolutely nothing.
Do you get a statue in front of the NovaCare Center?
No, there's like a little icons, I think, that you can get and, you know, stuff like that. But I don't know why, but I feel that I'm doing kind of a civic duty.
Yeah, everyone talks about Mandela, but look at all you've done.
I mean, I'm an unsung hero.
Yes, really.
Yeah. So the voice for my ways is me.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to get tired of it.
Okay.
Because I
you want me to do new voiceovers for you?
Yeah, I think I might. Okay. Because I have, if you want to.
Can we offer, Casey, you have the idea, which I think is really good, is for us to offer our different voices as your ways guide.
I just don't know how to import that. But, like, this is getting old. Ready?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Turn right.
Okay, yeah.
It gets a little old after a while.
I could do something for you.
All right.
I could do something for you.
$200 for the first hour and then $100 every hour after that for the session. Just to let you know. So, anyhow, going back to Netflix, the.
Okay. Act normal. Police reported ahead.
The ideal candidates for this must be passionate about movies and TV with a deep knowledge of the entertainment industry who can also work with tight deadlines. Steve, this is right up
this
your
is
alley.
Me. I can work with tight deadlines.
You're
bald.
You have a deep knowledge of the entertainment industry.
I do.
And passionate about movies and television.
That's it!
Yeah.
It's what I've been looking for.
So you could do this as a side gig. All right. So,
what's the time demand like?
I don't know, and I'm not sure how.
If you've got an additional 80 hours a week, it's right up your alley.
And I'm not sure how one gets on board for this. But you are already watching these things, Steve.
I watch a ton of stuff.
This could be perfect for you. All right. So that's available. You're gonna have to do a little digging to find out exactly what, Casey.
Yeah. One more. Yeah.
All right. Let me dig back in here. Okay.
Go deep. Go elbow deep.
This I got through PhillyNews.com. Staff writer Jason Nark wrote this. I think he's for the Inquirer, but. Apparently, 40 life-size Amish wax models are for sale in Lancaster County.
I saw these.
Yes.
I want to get one.
Dana, they're hoping to sell them as a set. Dana.
All 40?
DiCiccio, who's selling them, said that they didn't seem creepy at all when she was a kid in Pennsylvania Dutch County, but now she can't deny it. Even the dog feels off. Are you looking at pictures?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Aren't they for my Halloween display?
Yeah.
Haunted Amish Village.
DiCiccio is putting them up for sale on behalf of her uncle, a longtime manager of the Amish Farm and House, a tourist attraction in Lancaster. The adult figures are going for $350 a piece.
But the Amish, well, that's resell them to Amish women as real dolls.
The children and dog are $250 a piece.
That's expensive, though, man.
And they'd like to sell them as a set if possible. Yeah, there's 40 of them.
They actually, Kathy, look at that. I mean, on the front lawn there, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, I don't know.
Wouldn't it be great to have a perpetual fake barn raising going on?
The wax figures, each standing about 5 feet, 5 inches tall, once were part of the Lancaster County Wax Museum, which was opened in 1969 by Dutch Wonderland founder Earl Clark.
I love Dutch Wonderland.
Adjacent to the amusement park along Route 30. The museum featured dioramas of local history, including the burning of a Susquehanna River bridge to thwart the Confederate Army.
Thwart away.
And also one about pretzel making. William Penn was there and Ben Franklin, too. According to Lancaster Online, nearly all of the figures were auctioned off when the venue closed for good in 2006. Ben Franklin went for $4,100.
Wow. He's a keeper.
Nathaniel Leitner, Lancaster's second mayor, sold for $550.
Do they have any Gene Hackmans, Preston?
Yes, but you have to order those in advance.
We're the only ones that get that joke.
I know.
It's from the movie called The Lonely Guy.
And Dutch Wonderland held on to the Amish scene. And
wait a second. Look at this dog. This dog looks like a mutated werewolf.
Yeah, you're right. The Amish scene was going to recreate they were going to do it in the park. DiCiccio said that it never happened because the park was sold to new owners. The whole crew went instead to the Amish farm and house about a mile away. But the tableau was never resurrected and all the figures sat in storage. So now they want to sell them.
My wife, Claire, can't stand wax museums. She's terrified of them. Even really? Madame Tussauds, the whole thing.
Yeah, I could see that.
We were down at the one, I guess, on Hollywood and Vine, you know, that one of the classic ones, and she refused to go in. For some reason, she believes that if you're a serial killer, that's the best place to go because it's so obvious.
You know, where you heading, John Wayne Gacy?
I do.
Going to Tussauds.
I do enjoy when every now and then an actual celebrity will stand in place of the statue and surprise the people that are walking by.
Yeah. Well, you should come home with these, Steve.
That'd be great.
Claire would love it.
To set them out, but what I would do is what you could do is you know, with a blowtorch, you know, melt them and F them up a bit, a la the Wax Museum, the Vincent Price movie.
Yeah. So those are available for purchase if you want to, 40 of them. All right, that's it. That's all I have in the junk drawer that I wanted to clean out for now. We are going to take a break because our guests are going to be here in just a little bit. We are going to have both Meredith Baxter and Michael Gross in our studio. They'll be at the Bucks County Playhouse for Love Letters, and we'll give you more of the details on that in just a moment or two. We'll be back in a second. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love Diamond Engagement Ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thank you very much, Kathy. You know, every June 21st, without fail, we always talk about these two. Because their birthday's on the exact same day.
And we make a big thing out of it.
We make a big thing about it.
It was obviously meant to be.
It's not just the date, the year, the actual
everything.
Day.
Everything, yeah.
And they're performing in our area at the Bucks County Playhouse, the 4th through the 8th for Love Letters. Please, what, we're going to play music, Casey?
Yeah, we can.
Please welcome Michael Gross and Meredith Baxter.
Yeah.
To our show this morning.
Hello, you wild crowd.
Thank you, guys.
We're sorry to be a little late. We were on every one of those jammed streets that Kathy just mentioned.
Sure. Fastest reading I have ever heard. Fast and smooth and errorless.
Well, thank you.
There's a science to it, and she's been doing it for a long time. She's very good at it. But, yeah, you found out the little secret that Philadelphia has a robust morning rush. So
does indeed.
Yeah, yeah.
But good to be here.
Where do you guys live?
I'm Santa Barbara.
Okay. And how is traffic crazy like that there, or is it a little laid back?
Do you get out in rush hour traffic a lot, though? I don't imagine you would, right?
There's no rush hour.
The beauty of what we do for a living is we jump from one job to another, and we're never in the same rush hour traffic every day. I don't understand how people do it day after day.
No, when we have a week off, we actually, I'll tool around and I'll get out. I used to do it. I did stand-up comedy for years, so I've been in every rush hour in every state, and it's a nightmare. But you forget what people have to put up with on a daily basis. It's horrific. But I wanted to bring up, Love Letters is what you guys are appearing in. And right. I've been familiar with this over the years. And I think over the years, as I've gotten older and you live a bit more of your life, like I don't think I ever quite appreciated as much as I started to appreciate it later on as I encountered it. And it, because it's a story of people who are communicating through correspondence to people and addressing the different things that happened to them through their lives. It's a life lived through classic, you know, cards and letters and notes like that. Is that what attracts you guys to it?
What appeals to me is, besides the blessing of being able to work with Michael.
Yeah, I agree with her. It is a blessing.
you second that.
He was talking to me. it's the longevity of their relationship, the richness of it as the audience begins to see it unveil itself, and how their tie is so, they're so connected from what they yearn for and they long for what they get from each other, and how the attachment is always there no matter how angry or divided they are. It's profound, and
that's pretty much the story. Now nobody has to come see it.
I saw it years ago, and I thought that it was very touching. But it starts to, you know, as you start to live more of your life, it puts it more in perspective.
You're absolutely right. It's like a great novel. I mean, there's stuff I read in high school and then college, and you come back later. Meredith and I have been doing this for about 30 years. We first started doing it in the 80s, I believe, in Beverly Hills, remember, at the Cannon.
Right, right.
And
I didn't.
As we grow older, there are different things that resonate with us in this piece, with these people in their lives, and it's fascinating. It never gets old in that respect. We get old.
You get old, but the truth of the matter is that
the material never does.
It's funny and it's profound and it's sad and it's introspective, but it's cool in that way, and it's the staging is pretty. It's about as rudimentary as you can get. I mean, is that
right? The emphasis is certainly on the words.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in this piece, and the words are incredible. We just love it.
Do you? I mean, because you're sitting there and you're obviously doing the correspondence. You're reading, you know, notes and stuff like that. Is how much is committed to memory? How much do you sit there and, you know?
Well, there's familiarity.
Yeah.
Because we've done it so often, but it's new every time.
Yeah.
Because he will read me a letter that, something that he is writing to me, and it's like, I hear it different because of a different inflection, and something that happened this afternoon is going to color how I am presenting my letter.
That's cool. And this is a favorite of actors and people who have had on-screen relationships or whatever, because and you guys, you obviously come from family ties, and that was where we first knew of you as a couple, and then throughout the years, do you think the audience reacts more warmly to you because they know of you as a pair to begin with?
Yeah, there's an affection there that from just there's a sort of implied intimacy of just being a part of their lives for as long as we have. And so they're happy to see us, and we're happy to see them, quite frankly.
How many times have you performed the show? You said over 30 years. How many times?
I couldn't even get into
it. Oh, wow. Okay.
But here's the fun thing. That I think that that someone will be attracted. They may not know the love letters or how it's laid out, but they will come to the show maybe because they know us, but they will stay and use whatever we bring to it to have a wonderful theater experience, because it's so lovely to, because we are richer characters to them than if they hadn't known who we are.
I get it. Yeah, that
I
makes
think
sense.
That really, is it's a wonderful marriage.
It's very cool. So over the years, you know, as you've done this, have you yourselves gotten let's not say vastly, but much different perceptions of your characters?
Oh, it keeps changing.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. If I stand apart from my character, for example, there's certain things I don't care for about him. As an actor, you're always an advocate, I think. You're always arguing for your character.
I've heard that said, that
I think it's a kind of advocacy.
If you're playing a villain, that you're playing a villain, but you have to believe in the villain.
Well, you have to try to understand why. I don't think very few people get up out of bed every day. Oh, one or two I know, maybe. But that say, I'm going to be the worst possible person I can today.
Yeah.
You know, they're thinking they're doing right in some perverted way.
Right.
They're defending themselves. They're advocating for a certain point of view. And so, as an actor, that's the point of view I take. I think these two are fascinating because they desperately need each other. That's why they stay in touch. They mm-hmm. supply things to each other that the other otherwise don't have.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to ask about your field of work, because you guys had mentioned the traffic and the beginning and that not having to be a part of your daily lives, because being an actor, depending on what you actually do in that field, right now you guys are traveling from town to town, your show moves around and all that so forth. But when you had a show like Family Ties, were very successful, this is a regular gig, is that as close to a 9-to-5 as you can get as an actor, of having a television show that's a regular schedule shooting?
Not counting tape night, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was always a little bit at odds with it, because I had led the gypsy life for so long, and then to finally get steady work was unusual and strange.
Double-edged sword?
Well, yeah, in a way. I had come from repertory theater, and I was more accustomed to playing 7 characters in a year than I was to play 1 character for 7 years,
right,
as we did on Family Ties. And I've often said to people, had I wanted steady work, I would have done something else for a living.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm more accustomed to the kind of freelance life. And that's probably one of the reasons why I haven't done another series. I kind of chafe at the idea of going to the same place every day.
The thing is, you guys instantly on that show resonated as such, Everyone I know perceived you as, those are cool parents. And you, because you had, there was an obvious, you obviously have a friendship that's lasted the test of time, and it's legitimate, you can't fake that, so there was that symmetry. But you both just came across as very warm instantly, which is not, you know, we talk about in radio when you have a morning show or a collection of people, getting chemistry is the hardest thing.
Meredith can fake warmth for short periods of time.
She's good at
just
that.
Enough time to take the show.
Yeah. I picked up on that when you were walking in. I was like, what a phony.
Right.
What's interesting about that family dynamic, and I know this now as a parent of three, is that even though you have these three children that come from the same beings, that they're all three of my kids are completely different.
Isn't that weird?
And you have to parent them all separately. You can't parent them the same way. And so you have, you know, your three children. You got, you know, the brainiac politician. Then you have the kind of free-spirited, not as brainiac. And then you have not counting Brian Bonsall, who came by later.
Right,
but
right.
Tina Yothers, who was, she was a jock, you know. That's so true to life.
That's why it resonates. I think, one of the great blessings of that show was simply the writing. It was that simple. I was, in some ways, I felt like simply a conduit for wonderful writing.
Gary David Goldberg.
Gary David Goldberg.
The creator. And he wrote
Mark
a lot.
Lawrence. Yes. Michael Whitehorn.
Alan Yuger.
Marvelous people.
Have people.
Andy Borowitz was there for a while. Somebody follow Andy. Mm-hmm. Andy and Susan Borowitz.
Have people asked about, obviously, Roseanne has been rebooted and tremendous success right out of the gate.
Right.
Has anybody floated rumors of that with the Keaton family?
Rumors abound.
Yeah, but here's the sweet thing. Those requests come from fans.
Right.
But not from the performers or the writing staff. Because Gary David Goldberg, we lost him a bit ago. And I don't think there's anything in the rest of us that really want to try to reconvene and try to recreate something that was so fantastic.
That's the liability. If you it's lightning in a bottle sometimes, and you don't want to screw it up.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
And the other writers have gone on to other careers, television, film, things like that. And I don't think, as she says, there's not the critical mass of people who are interested enough.
I have to say to you, Meredith, when I've seen you play, you to the point of being and jokingly insincerely warm, when you set your mind to playing a baddie or you are a scary mofo.
Thank you very much.
That's my nickname for her. Scary mofo.
I think, I forget what show I've seen a couple times. It was one and I can't remember where, but I remember, Jesus, God almighty.
Probably Betty Broderick.
Betty Broderick was a great story, But there was another show I remember you playing, a nefarious type, and it ran so against the grain of the Keaton family, A, and B, you seem to savor it so much. Is that fun when you can tie into something that's totally contrary to what you're known for?
Yes, and I remember reading a script once, and it was about a woman who is a little off, and you see her talking to her little boy, and he starts asking her questions about his childhood. He's only about 7, and he doesn't understand images that keep flashing to him. And you realize she's saying, oh, I'm going to have to kill him. I went, yes! I want to know, how does she get up in the morning?
Right.
Where does she go?
Yeah.
What happens to her that she, that's where she's taking herself?
We're perpetually fascinated by characters like that, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty much Meredith's parenting style. I'm going to have to kill him.
That's military discipline, you know?
It's natural. You're the way you chat with each other is the way my wife and I chat with each other. We're constantly...
And you guys can't see Meredith actually hitting.
Yeah.
Michael, when we're in the middle, she's actually slapping him a little bit.
That's what's nice about radio. You do not see the bruises.
I have to also, I'm a huge fan of Tremors. It's always had a sense of humor about itself. Right from the first film with you and Reba McEntire and Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward. And is that just a lot of fun to go do
it
that?
It is an absolute lark.
Yeah.
It is an absolute lark. And
you know what I like?
Tremors 6.
Yeah.
A Cold Day in Hell. Is coming out May 1st.
I've seen them all. I've seen them all. What I love is you take a character that could easily be overly cartooned, and he's got Bert. He's got a soul. He's a good guy. He's got his issues, but he's, you know, instead of just a one-dimensional cartoon character, he's got fun to him.
I like to think of Bert, the way I approach him is as underly cartooned.
Okay. Yes, right.
I never quite go too far.
Yeah, it's, no, it's but always funny. Cartoon. And you always like him, and you're always rooting for him to win against the Graboids.
Right,
so,
right,
yeah.
Right. Very good.
Yeah, oh, I know his stuff. Yeah.
Got your stuff down.
Michael, I wanted to ask you about nostalgia in general, because there's a trailer that's out right now. It's called Won't You Be My Neighbor, and it's about Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, and I watched the trailers, 2.5 minutes, and I got teary-eyed watching it. You know, it brought me back to my childhood, and obviously with you guys with Family Ties, there's a lot of nostalgia attached to that. But it can be dangerous living in nostalgia. You know, you don't want to live in the past too much. So how do you take what you guys are doing now and acting and maintain the present without delving too much into the past?
I don't understand actually the question.
Well, because it's something that you've done for so long that you don't want to. You want to make it relevant for a present day audience. You know, you want to make it relevant for people who are coming to the theater tonight, tomorrow, whenever the case may be. But people will still come because of this feeling of nostalgia. So how do you separate the acting from the past and the acting from the present?
I think what's going to happen is they'll come to see us because they know us, and the material itself is going to make that difference, because the material takes you in whole different ways. It really is quite a brilliant piece in the journey it takes for these two people.
You think you won't be, but I was, because it's like, oh boy. And then once the cards, and once you start going through what is a bit of a roller coaster of what two lives yield you, yeah. And the fact that you said it is a friendship and a relationship where your lives would have been dramatically less had you not been involved with each other in various ways. And we're not in a multitude of ways.
Again, Nick, I think it's the material that's going to make the difference. They're going to come in here thinking old material, and they're going to find something completely different. It's this piece Absolutely. That will just take them to a new place.
I think it's, you know, no different than any actor or that you see in a movie, you know, and you know them as this character in a movie, and then you go see them in another movie. Like, Michael, I saw you on Broadway in Macbeth, and Kelsey Grammer was Macbeth. I wasn't expecting to see Frasier Macbeth. I expected, you know, Kelsey Grammer to portray this character.
Macbeth
this.
With his radio show and Seattle radio show. But it's the truth. I mean, that's if it gets you in the door and people are then experience this play and enjoy it, then that's a plus.
Right.
I think there's a lot of people who, to Nick's point, probably who have almost become resentful of what got them to the dance, and that ends up seeming to haunt them, you know, and some people have, but you guys have always, you've done far more work than just Family Ties, and that works in your favor as well.
But it is a classic, and it's difficult to imagine anyone not asking us about that, because it's like, how do you approach Lucille Ball without mentioning, did you do the Lucy show? I mean, no, it was a classic.
Don't bring up Lucy.
Yeah, right. I don't want to talk about her.
Don't bring up I Love Lucy. Yeah, she freaks.
But seriously, it's a classic. It's how could people not talk about it? And it was something, frankly, at the time that I think I took a little for granted. You don't know you're making history at the time.
It meant so much to people.
We were just talking about the fact that what was at Paramount the same time we were doing it? It was at Paramount Studios. Happy Days was a studio away. Joni Loves Chachi.
Cheers. Wow.
Cheers.
Wow. Yeah.
It was a great time. It's one of the last of the sort of great
TV
great
era
sitcoms. Oh, Laverne and Shirley was still running as well, too. So Taxi.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, great stuff. And these are all in adjoining studios. So you don't realize at the time that you're making some history and establishing it. You're just going to work every day.
Right.
And hoping it turns out well and worrying, will you be canceled next year? You don't realize that history is being made. So I'm happy for that time.
And also,
I'm happy to talk about it.
We don't... doing the show, I never had a sense of how other people were experiencing it. So when people would come up to me years later and go, I wanted you to be my mother.
Wow.
You know, and I thought, well, because I had really good writers. My writers at home are not as good.
I just want to go on record as saying, I never wanted Meredith to be my mother.
And there's a relief in that.
Well, sure. She takes great comfort in that.
If you're just jumping in, Meredith Baxter, Michael Grosser here. Love Letters at Bucks County Playhouse tomorrow through Sunday. And you know what, Michael, you're speaking of making something that stands a test of time is kind of historical. It's still relevant and referenced in works today because Ready Player One opened this weekend. In the book, there's a lot of references to family ties, and I don't know if you've seen. Yeah, there is. Absolutely.
Well, Spielberg was a good friend.
It's not of Gary, the film
of Gary David Goldberg.
Right. Oh, there you go.
He knew Gary, and he borrowed Michael Fox from Family Ties during filming of Family Ties to do Back to the Future.
Wow.
So I'm not a bit surprised.
Meredith, you got a solo shout out in Deadpool. Are you familiar with that?
Someone said that, but I've never heard how.
Well, we've got it for you.
Nice.
All right. So, and that movie, hugely successful. One of the best superhero movies to ever come out, by the way.
I don't know if I got a career bump out of this.
Listen, this is the reference to you. You ready? Okay, here we go.
Anything on my bucket list would involve public nudity.
Finally, giving Meredith Baxter Birney a Dutch oven.
Oh, receiving a Dutch oven for Meredith Baxter Birney.
Okay.
They're using the Birney, but yeah.
And they're using a term I don't know.
You don't know what a Dutch oven is?
Yeah.
Michael, do you know what a Dutch oven is?
Can I say this on it? No, go ahead.
Right, it's when it's two people are in bed together and one of them farts and then pulls the covers over your head.
My career is made. Yeah. You're good to
now. Family Ties seems like a blip compared to...
That's just the reference she was looking for.
This is so dismaying.
Of course it is.
I think that's a compliment.
Actually.
Is it?
Coming from Deadpool? Yes, absolutely.
See, you're in high company. It's a male sense of humor.
Yes.
It sort of is.
Yeah. Welcome to my world.
Heart goes out to Kim.
Michael, one of my favorite places in this country is Montauk, New York, and the show The Affair is based in Montauk, and that is why I started watching it. Were you on it, or are you going to be on the next season?
You know, this is I've done two guest spots as Maura Tierney's psychiatrist within the last couple months. And I keep having to remind myself, I've got to find out when these are on because, you know, I kind of lose track. You do the job and then I like, oh, I never saw that.
People, so it's going to be on this new season.
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
My guess is you did...
I love those scenes. I love Maura. I used to be, for a couple of years, I played Noah Wiley's son on ER. And so I'd run into Maura a lot there. We never had work together because I was mostly with Noah, but, I really do like her as an actress, and we've just had fun together.
Kathy's a big fan,
of
the series.
Wait, you know what Meredith was in? I think it was only one episode, but Brothers and Sisters, which aired on ABC, that was like, they make fun of me because I still am upset that show was canceled.
That was a good show.
It was a great show.
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of... You both did soap operas at one point, did you not?
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of playing
same a one, I think.
Did
we
you
did,
Young
we both
and Restless?
Did Young and the Restless.
Right.
Did you
or
enjoy
as we
it?
Like to refer to it, the Young and the Rest of Us.
I hear that that nothing can compare to that grind of being when it was in its heyday and all the networks had multiple soap operas on at one time. And that was a boot camp for young actors where you just, you know, you had to run and gun basically. Was that your experience?
Yeah, Meredith, you too?
Very, very much so. It's like I had, you know, where they, you know, on Family Ties, we would, well, just on a regular film show, you would have to learn like about 7-8 pages a day. And that's pretty speedy. On this show, 60 pages a day.
Wow. Wow.
They're doing an hour show every day.
Yeah.
And
stunning amount of work.
Just frankly, I couldn't have done that for very long, and I didn't do it for very long. They were like you are so out of here.
Yeah.
No, I did. I think I maybe did it for 4 or 5 months and something like that, and I thought, I can't imagine doing this all the time because I love the time involved in collaboration, and there's not time to ask questions like, wait a minute, why is he threatening to kill himself today? He wasn't suicidal yesterday.
Right.
We don't have time to go into that.
Shut up.
Just say you're going to kill yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, why? No, don't ask why. Just kill yourself. Okay.
I love the way
and
they're
come
paced.
Back as your dead brother.
Right.
You know?
We've all watched soap operas, and there's something that I always love in the pacing is that Ronaldo is your brother. And they stand and they cut away. They have another scene that goes on for about 10 minutes and come back to the guy still standing there reacting. And so is that a bizarre soap opera time, or are we led to believe that everyone just stood in that doorway for 10 minutes?
That's a bizarre soap opera time. Okay. That's what they do. Okay. And there's that look when you get the news, you sort of look away as if the geese are flying. Somewhere. Oh, my goodness. Yes, right. That's right. I never put those two together.
Yes, and I got to say,
my mother is my sister.
What?
Fascinating.
It's the end of scene look that I think creates, it can create terrible acting habits.
Yes.
And so that's why you guys got out of there pretty quickly.
Everything that's happening in your mind expressed on your face as they slowly die, the tank out, is just endless.
Yeah, and it happens all the time.
I think they got rid of me because I was asking too many questions. I really was. I was like, but this doesn't make sense. Don't pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. That's a writer behind the curtain.
Do you guys believe in fate? Do you guys believe that fate maybe brought you guys together and kept you guys together for as long as they have?
Meredith?
I don't know.
No?
I don't so much believe in fate as what you do with those times you come together.
Right.
I mean, you know, what you make.
Have you guys worked?
You make your own destiny.
With anybody as much as you guys have worked with each other?
We just figured out the other day. Can I tell them how old we are? They can do the math.
I already know how old you are.
All right. We're 70 years old. I started doing Family Ties at age 35. We've known each other for half our lives.
Right. Wow. Well, that's phenomenal.
I was 35 then too, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Michael, did you play a shrink on Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I played a dermatologist on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
What was that experience like?
Because it was great. I spent the entire episode trying to get Larry David to remove his clothing so I could get a look, good look at
that's
it.
Right.
He was very resistant.
Did you have a script at all, or was it just an idea as to what the show was going to be?
It was an idea.
Okay.
It was. That's one of the things I loved about it is I never had to learn lines.
Yeah.
No, it was pure. You know, they give you an idea and you go in several directions with it, and then they'll stop and say, okay, what works, what doesn't, pare that down, don't talk too much on that. So it's basically a kind of improv.
You did play a shrink on, I think it was the last episode that Michael J. Fox was on, a Spin City, didn't you?
How much do you guys watch? How do you know all this stuff?
He watches and everything.
Meredith, all we do is watch TV.
And Meredith was on Spin City playing his mother. Mm-hmm. And I played.
That's perfect.
And I played his shrink on the final episode of Spin City, and it was one of the greatest lead-in lines. His regular shrink, the receptionist said, his regular shrink would not be there today, and he was expecting to meet his shrink, and said, he's not going to be there. And Michael said, what are the chances that somebody's going to walk in that door? I'm going to feel comfortable with that. And then I walked in. Yeah. Oh, hi, I'm Dr. So-and-so.
Oh, that's great.
That's great.
It was great. The audience did not know I was...
Did Bill Lawrence write that?
I forget who wrote that. The audience did not know I was going to be there, and they were, and it was just great.
Oh, that's tremendous.
Yeah.
How is he doing? Do you know Michael J. Fox?
I ask him that because it's one of the frequent questions I get, and I had breakfast with him maybe about 6 months ago in New York or something like that. And I said, what do I tell people? He says, tell them I'm doing fine. Hmm. Because it is a frequent question.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, Parkinson's is a progressive disease. It never gets better, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But he's found some medication that he was taking, and I thought he never looked better.
I hadn't
for a long time. He was in great shape.
An interview fairly recently, and whatever that drug is, it suppresses a dramatic amount of what he got. I mean, it is.
I'll sell you some of that drug. Maybe you'll calm down a little bit. Steve.
It's quite possible. But it's great to see him able to do that, and you know it's wonderful. I'm sure you guys get asked as the conduit for his health.
The friendships are still there.
That's great.
Meredith and I have seen him when we've been in New York together, and it was one of those shows without a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Everybody enjoyed each other.
That's great.
And still keep in touch to a degree. Yeah, we liked
each other. Even
Skippy? Yeah.
Even Skippy.
We liked... Everybody got along beautifully, really.
That's great. That's one of those rare moments. We're the same way. We're all
lucky.
You know,
us.
We love to work lucky with each other, and it's a beautiful thing. And this. Oh, I'm sorry. That means our time is up.
That's our cue.
That's it. I was trying to find a way to fit that in there somewhere.
There you go. Like
that. I'm sorry. Our time is up. Listen, we are so delighted you guys came by here today. We've been big fans for a long, long time, and I know that you'll get great crowds out for Love Letters. The Bucks County Playhouse, by the way, wonderful
it's
facility.
It's great. So great.
To get tickets and information, just go to bcptheater.org, and you can get your tickets. And there's multiple shows. So you've got two shows tomorrow. There's two shows Thursday, a show on Friday, which is 8 p.m., and two shows on Saturday, and a show on Sunday. So there's many opportunities for you to get out and see this. And tickets are just start at $40. So, like I said, bcptheater.org. So we hope you enjoy your time here.
In the We're having a great time thus far. It's been fun with you this morning. Thank
really
you.
Sweet.
Thank you so much. Meredith Baxter and Michael Gross.
Yeah.
Steve Show. We'll take a break and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
MMR's 50th birthday concert series presents MMRBQ 2018, our annual all-day rock festival. Saturday, May 19th, BB&T Pavilion, starring Alice in Chains. Ghost. Stone Temple Pilots. Jonathan Davis, GA Performances from the Record Company, Dorothy, Radke, and In the Presence of Wolves.
Presale alert. Get the official concert t-shirt now and guarantee you get the size you want. Offer ends May 1st in the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Tickets on sale now. Just $35 to put your ass in the grass.
MMRBQ 2018. Don't miss it.
Don't they seem like the Keatons?
Oh, my
like,
God.
A married couple. Meredith Baxter, so Michael
cool.
Gross. Yeah. I mean, I was like I was sitting in their living room.
Yeah, but their interaction, their friendship is, you know, it's the same. It rings of, a, you know, not that we're just, hey, we wish they were really the Keatons. No, they interacted so warmly with each other. It was great to see it.
They're good buds. You wanted to mention an event coming up, Steve?
Yeah, Preston, the Bottoms Up event, which has been going on for a couple of years. I'm a prostate cancer survivor. This is a great event at the Desmond Hotel, which is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal food. Nick, you've been a couple times.
So much fun. Desmond's awesome. To begin with, and this event is just a great time on top of it.
So it's a very positive thing. I'm going to be there. Dr. Mike Sirigliano, you know, the guy who's had his fingers in all parts of us, is going to be there as well. And it is a great event. They're going to have craft breweries, including Stroud's, Locust Lane, Allagash, Gin, Vodka, and more from the Revivalist Spirits and Tommy Rotter Spirits. All you can eat oysters. So if you're an oyster fan, they're going to have an incredible selection of gourmet oyster oysters prepared, a live band, caricature artists, a whole bunch of stuff going on. Like there's like a French fry bar, believe it or not, and popcorn stuff. It's a very eclectic a bunch of food. But the general cause is to raise awareness about prostate cancer. And the good news, you get checked. If you do have it, you can beat it. I'm a perfect example of it. So come out. That's this Saturday. So tickets are available. The information's up on our website on PrestonSteve.com. We'd love to see you out there. See, as you said many times, Preston, you pay a little bit and you get a huge bunch of food. There's going to be auction items. Come out and hang with us. We'd love to see you.
Nice. We'll have that information up for you to take a look at and participate in it. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Alrighty, it is brought to you by A.D. Moyer, voted the number one window dealer in the Tri-County area for 15 consecutive years. Don't just replace your windows, upgrade your home with Anderson Windows, admoyer.com. Let's begin with this. The mystery of a tiny skeletal mummy that has captured the public's imagination and baffled scientists for many years have finally been solved. The body is just 6 inches long and likely a fetus. However, it has a skeletal structure that appears to be that of a six-year-old child.
Wow, they say for a long time it terrorized the ankles of ancient Egyptians.
Since the mummy had 10 pairs of ribs instead of 12 and an elongated head, some believe that it could be an alien.
Oh, I've seen this. Yes, no.
Yeah. So it looks like a human size. It's actually that of a fetus.
That's wild.
The analysis and was done by a team of other researchers, and they confirmed that the skeleton was not an alien nor a primate, as some had speculated. It was the fetus of a girl who had suffered from a host of severe genetic mutations. Some of those mutations had never been linked to bone or developmental problems. They called it ATA, A-T-A. And was either a stillborn or died right after birth. She was badly malformed as to be unable to feed. In her condition, she would have ended up in a neonatal ICU. But given where the specimen was found, such things were simply not available.
Are you perpetually fascinated by ancient Egyptians and the tombs and the pyramids? History Channel constantly does stuff on it. And the way they were able to embalm bodies. There's a lot of stuff going on there that still puzzles scientists to this day.
By the way, some have theorized that these remains were ancient. It turns out they did some dating on it, and it was only about 40 years old.
Just 40 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not quite ancient.
No, but it looks like some kind of alien thing. But all right, anyhow. Moving along, if you weren't aware, drive your tractor to school day is definitely a thing.
Yeah!
Last week, the parking lot at Michigan's Fremont High School was filled with farm equipment for the school's annual day, which is 14 years running. At least 40 tractors filled the lot before classes even began, and officials say more tractors were parked outside the town's middle and elementary schools.
So I do all my dating on farmersonly.com, and they had a banner about this. I was very excited.
Superintendent Ken Haggard said it's a celebration by the Fremont Public Schools of the farming community in which we live. It gives us an opportunity to recognize the importance of farming in our community.
Have you ever driven a tractor?
Never driven one. No, I've ridden on them, yeah.
They're fun.
Yeah, where I live, there's a lot of farms, and so if there's any parades, 4th of July, Memorial Day, whatever, there's a caravan of tractors that come through.
We used to play chicken on tractors back in the day.
But your shoelaces got caught.
Yes.
Yeah, your shoelaces got caught.
Told you
I heard about that.
I heard it, yep.
Yeah, and then you taught Chris Penn how to dance.
Yes.
What kind of dance did you do?
We were Footloose, Kathy.
I was watching Guardians of the Galaxy, and they have Footloose references throughout that. It's so great.
Here's a summer job that's perfect for you, especially Casey and Kathy. The Providence Journal reports Dyer Woods nudist campground in Rhode Island is looking for a lifeguard this summer.
Why is this to me and Casey?
I think mine expired.
Yeah,
I'll get you both to high dive.
The lifeguard can wear a swimsuit, but it's not necessary. However, guests visiting the pool must be in the nude.
I would say, Case, keep your bathing suit off so that as you swim them back to the side of the pool, they have something to hold on to.
Dude, honestly, I would have loved to have been
a nude lifeguard.
Well, no, I would have worn my suit. I'm not that proud.
The campground offers swimming, hiking, volleyball, and a sauna for those comfortable with doing all those things butt naked. The lifeguard must be at least 18
inches long
and have state certification. A traffic stop turned into a citation for a shark violation for a Miami man in the Keys on Saturday fishing trip. When Deputy Nelson Sanchez stopped Jose Medina, he noticed fishing rods in the car. Medina had a passenger, and it said that they had been fishing near Indian Key Phil and showed off some snapper in a small cooler. When the deputy asked about the larger cooler, Medina said it was only a shark. Sanchez flipped the top larger cooler open. He found a cleaned shark that Medina, a spear fisherman, admitted was a lemon shark. Medina claimed that he saw the shark on the shoreline and didn't want it to go to waste. But lemon sharks are a protected species in Florida.
Yeah.
So Medina was cited for harvesting protected shark species.
We'll squeeze those into T-sharks.
Yes, the lemon sharks, of course. This is weird. Mystery surrounds the reason why a box of frozen chicken feet wrapped in a box like a present was left outside of a house. The box, which contained around 24 feet, was left Saturday evening. It was outside a house of 6 University Nottingham students and was initially spotted by Hannah Broadbent, who studies psychology. She saw it in the early hours of Sunday morning after picking up a friend from a hospital, and the rest of the students woke up to the bizarre package. Rosa Hill, a psychology student who lives there, said the irony is we were doing a murder mystery night. We were all dressed up in character trying to guess the murderer, and we were a bit freaked out. She sent us a message via text when she got in about the box of chicken feet, and it was wrapped like a present.
Chicken feet.
She said, we all woke up to it in the morning. We chucked them away because they were left out for a while. Rosa said she was shocked, and they do not know who could be behind it, but they have been speculating who it might be. A note was left in the box that said 10 p.m. on it. which is really
Do you scary. Know where your chicken feet are?
Yeah. And there you go. That's
do I people have. Eat chicken feet?
Yes.
They do?
Yeah, you can. There's not much meat on them, but you can actually eat those or maybe even use them for, you know, stew and stuff like that. So, all right. And that is your bizarre file for you. Casey, I have some movie screening passes, please. Can you give me those?
Yeah.
Off of Rampage. That's coming up, I believe, on Monday at 7:30 at the UA Riverview. You'll need to be there by 7. I can take 3 callers right now, and I will set you up for this film starring Dwayne Johnson. 215-263-WMMR hits theaters on April 13th. Be back in a second. We'll have a lesson question for you. See if you've been paying attention. We'll be right back.
Whether social,
hey, welcome in,
or anti-social,
hey, get out!
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
Our President Steve at 12 minutes after 10, a Tuesday morning, moving by quickly. Our Word of the Week prize this week could get you some tickets to see the MM Barbecue. Not only that, a six-pack of lawn tickets. Of course, you know all the bands that are playing there. Hopefully you do. But I want to give you a heads up because we do have a special concert t-shirt presale that's taking place now for MM Barbecue. So you can go ahead and get it now. Wear it to the event if you like, and it's $20 in the MMR Rock Shop. You got to order it by May 1st if you want it to get there in time for the show.
I had a friend text me yesterday, and we've been friends for a long time. He's never been to MMR BBQ before. His wife, her favorite band is Alice in Chains, and so he asked, hey, what's it like? You know, what's the deal? And I had to sort of explain to him the concept, and they're coming for the first time ever this year, which I'm really excited to have them. And he was like, hey, can I just get lawn seats and sit up? I was like, yeah, man.
Yeah, totally.
It's a great vibe. It's a great day, and hopefully it'll be a nice day out, too.
I have every confidence that it'll be warm by that time and comfortable.
Yes, I believe you are correct, sir. All right, I'm ready to do a lesson question. I'm considering doing a really difficult lesson question.
Really?
Yes, from earlier this morning. See if you have been paying attention. Now, that means sticking with us through the commercial breaks.
Wow.
You think we would get a winner if I asked about something
we would.
That took place in a commercial break?
Yep. Yes, because that goes to the very heart of successful radio, TSL,
that is
time spent listening.
That is correct. Thank you, Steve. Keep them as long as you can.
That's right.
TSL. All right, so what does Milch stand for? This is during an eHarmony commercial we did earlier this morning. 215-263-WMMR. What does Milch stand for? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Astrude, South Jersey's sports specialty retailer. You can visit them in Marlton or online at AISTRIU.com. That's Astrude. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Paris Hilton insisting that her prenup with fiancé Chris Zilka in no way means she doesn't believe the marriage will go the distance. Hilton says she's sure Zilka is the one she wants keeping his hands off her goddamn money. Notorious former teacher Mary Kay Letourneau's husband and one-time student Billy Fualo was arrested for DUI after plowing into two cars at a spotlight. Letourneau's reportedly so furious to Fualo, she took away his Xbox. It's really upset. And finally, Kendra Wilkinson posting a teary video to social media in which she says she and her NFL star husband, Hank Baskett, are officially no more. Kendra says she thought the marriage was ruined by them living in the spotlight, but had to admit that recently it's been more like a pen light.
Uh-huh.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, thank you very much. Okay, this one's out there. I don't know if I've ever done a lesson question that pertains to something that took place during a commercial that we did. I had made a bit of a flub, and I said, Milch. What does that stand for? 215-263-WMMR. I will go to, let me see here. I got to see what this is all about. I'm going to go to Brian. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Good, good. How about yourself?
Good. Brian, what does Milch stand for?
Mom, I'd like to crash heartedly.
Yes!
Yes!
On our screen it says, Mom to Carew her Harvey. But you said it correctly. It's Mom, I'd like to caress heartily.
That's Rod Carew, a large rabbit.
Brian, hang on just a second. We are going to set you up with a case of Yard Saison.
Oh!
You can Oh! You can bring on the warm weather with Yard Saison. This refreshing summer wheat beer is perfect. It's a perfect thirst quencher. Locally brewed right here in Philly. Brew unto others with a Yard Saison at Tap Room Bar and Grill in Haddonfield. Let's get to music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, Music News this morning brought to you by Dietz & Watson, Real Philly Deli. Want to choose the best hoagie in Philly? 18 delis are competing in the 2018 Real Philly Deli Face-Off by Dietz & Watson. Cast your vote at phillymag.com/RPD. Linkin Park is auctioning off more than 200 pieces of used musical gear, including guitars, keyboards, a megaphone, samplers, and other equipment from the band's personal arsenal, with all proceeds going to benefit the group's Music for Relief nonprofit organization, which provides aid to people and communities affected by natural disasters. Reverb.com will host the April 4th sale, and all the gear being offered for auction has been used by Linkin Park either in the studio or on tour. Featured items up for bidding include the Moog Earthwave Plus Theremin that singer Mike Shinoda used during Linkin Park's 2010 concerts, a sticker-covered road case, an Electro Harmonix EHX V256 vocoder pedal.
Kathy, you've been looking for one of those.
Yes, I have.
And the band's Yamaha KX5 keytar featured in the What I've Done video.
So, Preston, I know you have the Moog T-shirt.
Yeah.
The earliest versions of the Moog synthesizers were like the size of a wall.
Yeah.
And so to get like mildly accurate drum sound, you'd have to patch from one, yeah, run a patch over to another. It looked like the mission control at NASA.
Our old keyboard player had a Mini Moog, and it was it would fold up like a suitcase.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You'd open it up, and the top would lean out, and it had all these knobs and switches. And we didn't know what we were doing. We'd just play around with it and turn the knobs and flip the switches, and all of a sudden you'd get these really wild sounds. It was a really unique, awesome instrument, by the way. Reverb, an online marketplace for new and used musical gear, has recently hosted sales of equipment belonging to Smashing Pumpkins' Billy Corgan and ex-Oasis guitarist Noel Gallagher. Mike Shinoda, by the way, will be releasing his debut solo album, Post Traumatic, which is due on June 15th. And Linkin Park has still not announced any future plans following the death of Chester Bennington last July.
I think you're right, though. I think they will go out on tour because there's multiple entities in that band that can keep it moving forward.
Yeah, I think they will. 30 seconds to Mars singer Jared Leto announced on Monday that he's going to embark on a cross-country journey called Mars Across America in celebration of the band's fifth album, America, which will be released on April 6th. He departed from New York City on Monday and is going to travel across the country any way he has to, whether it's hitchhiking, lift rides, bicycles, or running.
Kind of stealing our idea.
He's just going to kind of try and make his way all the way across the country.
And it's Mars Across America?
Yep. Because the album is called America.
Oh.
And the band is 30 Seconds to Mars. So the artist will visit destinations that showcase the subject behind the band's new album and will also hand out genetic testing kits from 23andMe to fans along the route, encouraging them to discover more about their heritage. The trip will end in the band's hometown of Los Angeles on the day that the new record comes out. So did I say generic testing kits?
Genetic testing
I thought you
kits.
Said genetic.
Did I?
Okay. I discovered that. No. I'm 80% bland.
Yeah. Did I say genetic or generic? Do you guys know?
It sounded like genetic to me, but I just mentally filled it in. Yeah.
Imagine Dragons frontman Dan Reynolds will host 2018 Love Loud Festival in Salt Lake City, Utah, July 28th. The annual event, which was...
The Love Loud Festival.
Somebody's loving Love Loud. So, the annual event, which was launched in 2000.
I just want to have one like that one time.
You want one to happen like that one time?
One time. I would even take a bowel movement like that.
Right?
So, the Love Lab was launched in 2017. It supports LGBTQ and youth and raises awareness of that community suicide rate. Reynolds said in a statement, "We at Love Loud are determined to help create a more loving and accepting environment for them while also hoping to raise more than $1 million for local and national LGBTQ and plus charities." So, Reynolds added, We look forward to a day dedicated to celebrating their diversity while listening to great music and inspiring speakers. And Imagine Dragons will perform at the festival along with Zedd, Neon Trees, Tyler Glenn, America's Got Talent winner Grace VanderWaal, and Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park will be there as well. The launch of the inaugural Love Loud Festival is detailed in Reynolds' upcoming documentary called Believer, which premieres on HBO in June. I thought this was kind of cool. Counting Crows have just rolled out a major 47-date summer trek dubbed the 25 Years and Counting Tour, with Live joining the band as a special guest.
That'd be an interesting show.
Yeah. I mean, talk about the heart of
the 90s
alt-rock.
I believe they used to tour together because I remember seeing the Counting Crows and Live, and I really was only there to see Counting Crows, so I had taken off.
I've seen the Counting Crows a couple of times, and the better times were when they stuck more closely to the sound of the album versions of the songs.
Well, yeah,
he is, not, and we've talked about this.
Yeah,
he goes way off.
Adam Duritz changes the melody of the music quite a bit, and it's nice to do that a little bit.
He does it a lot.
When you're really changing it all, the melody, this is what you sing along to when you have the music on. And so it can be a bit confusing and a little disappointing.
I was on the plane last week and listened beginning to end to August and Everything After. That it's a perfect album.
It's awesome.
Great.
It's just phenomenal.
Yeah. So Adam Duritz said, the nice thing about having 25 years of music to celebrate and 7 studio albums we absolutely love to choose from is that we can play a different show every night. The nice thing about touring with Live is that we get to spend yet another summer with old friends who play great music. We can't wait. And Ed Kowalczyk went on to say, Live is beyond excited to get out on the road this summer and play for our fans. We are freshly reunited and performing with a confidence and ferocity that we can't wait for people to experience. The fact that we will be sharing the stage once again with the incomparable Counting Crows is icing on the cake.
Isn't it amazing that 4 years ago, they would have killed each other? The band. They it would just look like it would never happen, and now totally cool, loving life, touring. It's all born anew.
If you want to get out and see them this summer, you got two shots in our general area. They will be playing August 10th in Hershey at the Hershey Park Stadium, and then August 11th they'll be at the BB&T Pavilion. So it should be pretty cool. Huh. Bands together. But
I think Fish is going to be there right after that, either right before or right after.
Okay.
Yeah, make sure. Sorry, just thinking out loud there, Preston.
This just in. A local radio celebrity made sure of something live on the air.
And now he's checking.
Now I'm checking.
Mm-hmm.
Preston suggested he check it just to make sure his initial endeavors of making sure were valid.
Here we go. Fish is at the BB&T Pavilion August 7th and 8th.
All right.
All right.
Well, that's not right. Right after.
It's just in. If you're a fan of cheese sandwiches and twirling, have I got news for you,
dude? Okay. Their cheese sandwiches are amazing.
All right,
are
they?
Yeah.
That is what I have for you in music.
Are they? Are they?
Are they really, Wendy? I'm going to take you to a Fish concert, Wendy. You're going to twirl until your goddamn head explodes.
Did you ever have a goo ball before?
No.
A what?
A goo ball. Oh, man.
I'm going to goo bowl all over. I'm going to goo bowl all over your back.
So, some of them are called ganja goo balls, and it's just like a snowball-sized mound of chocolate chips and oatmeal and peanut butter. And
I'm intrigued.
And weed.
And weed.
Yeah.
That's right. That's where I fall off the wagon.
Goo ball.
That's where the goo comes in.
And weed.
And are people selling goo balls?
Yeah.
Or do you make your own goo balls?
Well, you make your own, but, you know, you buy them in the parking lot. Ganja goo ball.
Ganja goo ball. Well, that would have given it away.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
They're snowball size?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I make something similar minus the ganja.
Okay.
Yours is the ganja?
They're not called goo balls. I think they're called like energy bites or something.
Well, talk is cheap. Bring them in.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. Okay, fine.
That's a rave. They're pretty good.
No, because it's all it is oats. You don't cook them. It's oats, peanut butter, chocolate chips.
And hash.
Rolled into a ball. No ganja. I don't do the marijuana.
Okay.
I don't do the marijuana.
Is that one of those marijuana cigarettes? Those things will make you freak out.
Kathy's goo balls. I like the sound of that. All right, we should definitely take a break. We'll come back in a second. We'll get your letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize coming up in a moment. See what's up for tomorrow. Pierre Robert should be in shortly. See what he's got in store. So we'll return with all of that in just a second.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live. When you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats. It's a beautiful song, You Worry Me. And there's a really cool event that's coming up that was just announced, I believe, yesterday. And it is a Pierre Presents event with Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats. So that means that they're going to be performing at Ardmore Music Hall. And this will be a noontime show. And Pierre will have your chance to win some tickets to this exclusive event. It's 21 and over, invitation event only. And you'll need to tune in to Pierre to get the details on that.
Those are great.
Yeah.
I love that that we do it. I love that he hosts it because, you know, it's a great interview and performance and everything.
Yeah, so you get a little sit down, you get some stories about the music, you get exclusive performances, and it's and a lot of times an opportunity to maybe meet the artist or the band and stuff like that. So Pierre, well, I'm sure we'll have more details on when he's going to be doing the giveaways for that, which is really cool. 10:37, about ready to wrap up the program, and I would like to thank the following people for being on our show today. Dr. J, Julius Irving, was on the program earlier. I think it was a little early in the morning for him, but he sees a class act, man, and he is getting yet another statue that the Sixers are going to be putting up at the training complex. And there's an event today, and I think it's around 2:15, that the statue unveiling is going to be taking place. And so he will be there. And he's going to be, I'm sure there's a lot of other former Sixers players that are going to be there too.
You would imagine. It's also, if you're available, go down and, you know, make it more special for him.
Yeah. And there's going to be some free t-shirts as well. So to commemorate the whole thing. We had the Keatons on the show today.
Yes.
Meredith Baxter and Michael Gross, of course, from Family Ties fame. We're here in our studio. They're going to be performing at the Bucks County Playhouse tomorrow through the 8th. Couple of shows for a few of those days if you want to get the full details of everything. But they're performing Love Letters, which is just a two-person show.
It's a two-person show. They're actually it's a two lives through cards, notes, you know, through correspondence. Yeah. And it's really cool.
And you can get the information about these shows and tickets and so forth. BCPTheater.org is where you go for that. And Land of Goshen, it's Pierre Robert.
Hey! Land of Goshen.
You don't hear that often, do you?
You don't.
How you doing,
I like
man?
That.
Yeah.
I'm doing well.
Cool, man. Good to see you.
Very good to be seen.
Real quick, can I ask you about Nathaniel Rateliff I just mentioned?
And yeah, it's going to be fun.
Pierre Presents. Do you know when? Have you already started giveaways for it?
We have not.
Okay.
I think we'll have ticket rates starting soon, and then we'll have them on the air too. But again, it's not till June. But all of a sudden, when we booked this, it was like seemed like months ago, and it's so I'm thinking it's months and months away.
No, it's not.
And like the barbecue's tomorrow, you know,
right?
Right. And then Christmas is the next day,
right?
And yeah, June is only 2 months away at this point.
And then I've got to get ready for the New Year's Eve broadcast. I mean, it's just like is it going fast?
It is, but you know what? We're moving into. We always say this. Preston always says, and I always go, yeah, you're right. But it's basically the same thing he says year round, which is now we're moving into some of our favorite events.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are. The barbecue is great, and the Keenan's is great, and there are worse problems to have.
Oh, indeed. No, it's just the pace seems to be ferocious, but that's good.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You want to do the letter?
I do.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
O as in oleomargarine.
Okay.
Which you have you have 1,000 shares in, correct?
Isn't that what they
how
it's spelled?
Oleo, yeah. Oleo.
You say, don't you just say margarine? Or is that a brand name?
No.
Margarine is the technical name for it. It's not like Kleenex, I don't think. I don't think margarine is a brand name.
Okay.
But oleo is a part of its makeup. It's a product. I don't know.
It's an explosive carcinogen.
When we were kids, it was really hot when we got real butter.
It was really hot when you got real butter? What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, it was
cool, Daddy. Real butter. Give me some skin.
The Keatons were our parents and our presidents.
Yep.
Wow.
I think we're
how
all
many guys
suffering.
Balls?
I think we're all suffering from the same thing yeah. today.
I just been drinking the Fireball.
All right, listen, by the way, I need to mention our Word of the Week prize. Budweiser, six-pack of lawn tickets for MMRBQ 2018. Alice in Chains, Ghost, Stone Temple Pilots, Korn's, John of the Davis Record Company, Dorothy, Radke, and In the Presence of Wolves will be there May 19th, BB&T Pavilion. Concert t-shirt pre-sale is going on now. You can get them now for $20 in the MMR Rock Shop. And wow. if you order by May 1st, you'll have it in time for the show. Complete details at WMMR.com. Budweiser, wherever legendary rock moments happen, Budweiser will be there. What do you have in store for the gang today, my man?
Birthday Bucks, 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. That'll be fun. We have another great live from the MM Archives. It's going to be very cool. Our friends, the Struts. Ah. And I believe this is when they were on with you guys and changed the lyrics of the song to include Preston and Steve in it, which is incredibly cool. We will also have Workforce Blocks of Volbeat and the Record Company and a little island music. Normally, I like to do them on Fridays, but I thought we'd, on a rainy day, do a block of Jimmy Buffett today. So
there you go.
And I have a great tow truck driver I'm going to send it out to.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. That's coming up. Let me thank our sponsors. President Steve Show is brought to you today by Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Also brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the President Steve Show. And the President Steve Show runs on Dunkin' tomorrow on our program. It's a Wednesday, so we'll go on Fox Good Day. I'm sure we'll have a secret text word prize we'll have. And we have some kind of a big announcement for our 50th birthday tomorrow.
Yes, we do.
So you will have to be here for all of that information.
I don't know what it is.
Neither do I. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow. Bye, gang.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you live.
Brian, I can see why everybody at the office calls you a d- when you're not around. And if I didn't need this job, I'd tell you to go shove it, you pathetic little d- And by the way, the bag is
next message.
Yes, Villanova. I could not be prouder to be a Villanova alum class of 2006. I could not be prouder of this team, my brothers. We could not be prouder. The Villanova Club of Delaware could not be prouder of Dante DiVincenzo. Big ragu.
Next message.
I hate you guys because I can't go to a restaurant and see anything with the word clams without hearing Kathy say, something in clams.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks. Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.